City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits. Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
Are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenny.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Because of the probability of our power being shut off during wind events or fires, many people are installing standby generators. Shasta Gas is now selling standby generators with propane tanks so that you will have home power during these outages. Give us a call at 365-3793 to get a quote on a generator and tank installation. That number again is 365-3793.
Our elderly, they're not just people that are older. They're grandmothers that share their secret recipes. The grandpa that tells heartfelt stories of a much more simpler time. They're our living link to the past and a vital part of our future. While most are cherished, sadly, many are abused. Shining Care is providing an opportunity for our community to promote a better understanding of abuse and neglect of older persons by raising awareness and providing invaluable information during the free webinar on June 26th, 11 a.m. to 1:30, featuring world-renowned keynote speaker Paul Greenwood and an interactive panel of local experts and officials. Topics including tips on elder abuse prevention for people of all ages, how to reduce the risk of elder abuse culled from his extensive criminal prosecution of felony elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation, plus info on COVID-19 scams, self-isolation with an older adult loved one, and the pent-up frustrations, and much more. Registration at shiningcare.org/events or 232-5543. Sponsored by PS2 Agency on Aging, Ombudsman, Cornerstone Community Bank, My Umbrella Marketing, and Marquis Shasta.
Is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premi is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Moore suggests that black people are being slaughtered in the streets by police. I mean, it really is some very solid stuff from Hollywood. But you can tell that for a lot of these stars, the things become a grift simply because they're doing what they are doing. And I don't doubt the sincerity of their feeling about black people dying, because every decent person feels that. I do doubt the sincerity of putting out a video where they take responsibility for all the world's sins and suggest that they will never, ever, ever tell a bad joke ever again. Oh, they won't tell a bad joke ever again. Or, oh, they won't stand by and watch police brutality happen. Were they members of the PD? Were they standing by? Were they, like, there at the George Floyd killing? Because I don't remember Sarah Paulson there. I feel like that would have been a big news story if Sarah Paulson had been there and just been standing by doing nothing. In any case, here was the video from these Hollywood stars pledging that they take responsibility. Now, be fair about this. When you're a Hollywood star and you say, I take responsibility, what you're actually saying is, I do not take responsibility for any of this stuff. What you're actually saying is, everybody else is the bad guy, I'm the good guy. And the way you can tell I'm the good guy is because of my performative atonement. My performative atonement means I'm not like those other white people. And this video is like all white people. The entire video is a bunch of white people saying, I take responsibility, which really means I don't take responsibility. I'm one of the good ones, guys. I'm a good one. Right? I'm the kind of person who would plywood up my window and then spray paint Black Lives Matter on it. Right? That's the kind of person these actors are. Please don't break into my mansion, because the fact is that I am with you. I am with you all the way up until the point when it actually comes to sacrificing my part for a person of color. Then I'm not so into it. But like right now in front of this camera, the reason this is important, guys, is because you can see, again, what began as a sincere outpouring of upset over George Floyd and police brutality has become for so many people an opportunity to virtue signal on behalf of their own sort of political cadre and their insidery Hollywood cronies. Here was this video yesterday. It's astonishingly bad.
I take responsibility for every unchecked moment, for every time it was easier to ignore than to call it out for what it was.
Every not-so-funny joke. Every unfair stereotype.
Every blatant injustice, no matter how big or small.
Every time I remained silent.
Every time I explained away police brutality.
Okay, stop it for a second. I mean, every time you explain, who explained away police brutality? Who among these actors was like, oh man, that Rodney King thing, that was great. Like, who, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Also, I'm really looking forward to the professional cut of all the various jokes that these various actors have told in the course of their careers that apparently they don't like anymore. I recognize that one of the people who's being most sincere here is Justin Theroux. Justin Theroux wrote Tropic Thunder, in which Robert Downey Jr. plays a black man and tells nothing but racist stereotypical jokes for 2 hours. Okay, so I'm going to go with, you guys didn't care about any of this stuff until you decided that it was worthwhile virtue signaling about it. The sincerity of, I'm in here without makeup and I haven't shaved either. That means that I am totally sincere, guys. But we have to continue this video until we at least get to Aaron Paul's Oscar-worthy performance as very concerned white person.
Every time I explained away police brutality or turned a blind eye,
I take responsibility. Black people are being slaughtered in the streets, killed in their own homes. These are our brothers and sisters, our friends.
Pause it there for a second. I'm sorry. That one, actually, I have to stop just to rebut it. Okay, the notion that black people are being slaughtered in their own homes by the cops is just nonsense. It's just nonsense. It is not true. Okay, the fact is that the police shot last year, according to the Washington Post, 1,004 people. About 250 of them were black. Nearly all of them were armed and resisting the police. Black people are not being slaughtered en masse by white people in their beds. And Dave Chappelle put out a comedy special. And Dave Chappelle's a comedian. He can obviously say what he wants. He's a comedian, right? He can make whatever jokes he wants. I'm not in favor of censorship of comedians or chiding them for the sorts of language they use or something like that. That's comedy. But Dave Chappelle makes a serious point in which he suggests that anyone who survives this nightmare is a hero. And I just think to myself, okay, there are 42 million black Americans. 41,992,500 of them were not shot last year. And of the remaining 7,500 who were shot, the vast majority were killed by other black people in the black community, because nearly all murder in the United States is intra-racial, not interracial. And only 250 were shot by the cops at all, and only 9 were shot unarmed. So that does not sound like every day black people are under existential threat in the United States, because they clearly are not. I mean, Dave Chappelle's a very, very wealthy person. LeBron James, a very, very wealthy person. He's done very, very well for himself. Good for them. This is America. Everybody should have the opportunity to do really well for themselves, which is why we all stand against police brutality. But this notion that black people are being slaughtered en masse is so ahistorical, and by the way, degrading to history, to history's actual evils. I mean, you want to talk about the mistreatment of black people? You don't have to go all that far back in American history to talk about mass mistreatment of black people. To compare today's black experience, the black experience of 1960 with legalized segregation and Jim Crow and miscegenation laws, or to compare it to slavery, is utterly asinine. And to take that crap from Julianne Moore, who's whiter than this piece of paper right here, is beyond me. Anyway, we finally get to Aaron Paul, Oscar winner Aaron Paul, in his finest performance.
And killer cops must be prosecuted. They are murderers. We can turn the tide. It is time to take responsibility. Call out hate. Step up and take action.
I realize why they cast Aaron Paul as Jesse Pinkman, because he actually is Jesse Pinkman. He's just Jesse Pinkman. Like, there is no other Aaron Paul. It's not like he was putting it on when he was doing... He really dials that Spinal Tap 11 there for Aaron Paul. Okay, so the point of this is not that this is important. The point is that it is frivolously unimportant. And we have reached the point of frivolous unimportance in this debate. We have. Remember, this thing started off as, how do we enact police reform so as to quash police brutality? How do we do that? Has anybody talked about any of that, like, in the last week? In the last week and a half? Like, Congress was pushing a bill. Does anyone know what was in that bill? Does anyone care? The answer, of course, is no. The media are covered with other narratives, with other narratives. And the problem for the press and the problem for the left is that once you broaden out the narrative from Americans need to care about kill black people, which we all do, to we're going to tear down statues of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and set up autonomous zones in Seattle, Americans are like, you know what? I'm out. Once you move from we all ought to care about black people being victimized by police brutality to every white person is guilty of systemic racism in this country, and you must kneel, and you must atone, and you must put out a corporate statement, or we're going to boycott you. Americans are like, you know what? Done. We're out. Because you have now moved beyond the point of the rational. We are not going to wear the ribbon just because you say that we're supposed to wear the ribbon. We may agree with the cause, but we are not going to be forced into Hollywood hostage videos. Right? This is not something that we are into. And you can see the narrative turning because the left always goes too far. They can't just say, here's a wrong. How do we work to correct it? Because that might be too unifying. They refuse to be specific. Instead, you're supposed to swallow this entire narrative hook, line, and sinker. And I don't think that most Americans are willing to swallow the narrative that black people are systemically put upon by police in the United States and at threat of violence every single day, or that all white people in the United States are responsible for the subjugation of black people, which is why there is inequality between groups. I don't think most Americans believe that because it isn't true. It isn't factually true. Okay, so as I say, the narrative has now been broadened out. It's been broadened out. And so now we're going to battle over Confederate statues. We're going to battle over Confederate flags. Now, in the past, this has happened before, too. And I think that there's a good argument to be made as to whether cities ought to leave up Confederate statues. The argument against is every time you're a black person, you walk by a Confederate statue, you go, oh, yeah, that person wanted to enslave grandma. Like, that's an evil person. Why is there a statue of an evil person that taxpayers are paying to upkeep? I think that's a fair argument. I do. Okay, then there's the counterargument. The counterargument is made by Condoleezza Rice, and I kind of agree with this one more. And that is, it's important to leave up monuments of bad people so that specifically we can point to our kids and say, guys, you need to know American history. In American history, there are a group of people who wanted to enslave your great-grandmother. Right? As a Jew, I want Auschwitz to stand. I want monuments to human cruelty to stand. I think it's very important that monuments to human cruelty stand specifically because it reminds us that human beings are capable of such cruelty. It reminds us of the darkness inherent in the human heart. So I get the arguments and I get the counterarguments. But the notion that this is linked to, quote unquote, ongoing police brutality and systemic racism is a different question. Because now what you're basically suggesting is that the very presence of these statues is the rationale for inequality between black and white outcomes in the United States. And when you broaden this out to, okay, if you agree with the second argument, or if you think that, you know, history is worth preserving just because history is history, then that must be because you are inherently racist. This happened after the mass shooting at that horrible mass shooting in Charleston at the Black Historic Church. There's this attempt to take down Confederate flags. There's an attempt to take down statues. My point was not that these are not worthy causes. They may, in fact, be worthy causes. I'm not a fan of the Confederate flag. Right? I think that the Confederate flag stood for a rebellion against the United States on behalf of slavery. So I'm not a fan of the Confederate flag. I'm also not a fan of suggesting that everybody who has a Confederate flag on the back of their truck is somehow in favor of slavery or the Confederacy, because the flag was not removed for 160 years, and for a lot of people, it morphed in meaning. Like, to understand that the Confederate flag or the Confederate statues mean something different to different groups of people, you do have to actually talk to those groups of people. And I think that both meanings are perfectly understandable, and both meanings are perfectly legitimate. Meaning that if you're, again, if you're a black person, you see the Confederate flag, you say, that is a flag that was flown on behalf of a would-be country to enslave my ancestors and that would want me enslaved today. 100% right. 100% right. And then you're a southern white guy, and your grandfather had that flag when he was fighting at the Battle of the Bulge, which there were tanks that flew the Confederate flag at the Battle of the Bulge because it stood for regional pride. that it had morphed beyond its original meaning. So to suggest tacitly that everybody who's flying the Confederate flag is responsible for the killing of George Floyd or something, or that America writ large is the Confederate flag and not the American flag, or that the American flag is like the Confederate flag, which is why people are kneeling for the American flag, all of that is wrong. And once you broaden out these arguments, once you take this from the realm of what can we do policy-wise in order to rectify problems, to let's do a full-scale rethinking and revision of American history. Let's do a full-scale rethink of the heart of the American people. Let's indict people who have nothing to do with the death of George Floyd because they have a symbol on their car. Then Americans are going to start to buck. And, by the way, there's no limiting principle here, because it turns out that for a lot of folks on the left, this does not stop with even statues I don't like Confederate statues or like the Confederate flag. Right? It doesn't stop with that for the people on the hard left. It stops with George Washington. It stops with Thomas Jefferson. It stops with Christopher Columbus. It stops with anybody who represents Western civilization or American civilization, because it turns out history is filled with flawed people. Right? We build monuments to people who do incredible things. That's typically what you do. Now, a lot of monuments should be taken down because people didn't do incredible things. Get it. All right, fine, fair. You vote to do it. You don't go out and protest and drag them down, okay, because this is still a democratic country. It's still a democratic republic. But I get it. But to take down every monument to a person who lived in a historical time that you did not live in, who did a bad thing, and then to use that as an excuse to take down the statue, that's beyond. Now you're basically saying that all of history is evil except for this present moment, and if you don't jump on our side of this political issue in this present moment, you stand with the bad thing this person did. So if you like George Washington, what you actually are celebrating is the fact that he held slaves, not the fact that he was the father of the country. And if you like Thomas Jefferson, you're not celebrating the Declaration of Independence or the Louisiana Purchase. You're celebrating what he did to Sally Hemings. You're celebrating what he did to Sally Hemings. And that is a lie. It's a lie. Most Americans don't celebrate that sort of stuff. And when I say most, I mean virtually all. So we're going to get to the attack on history, because there is some irony to this. Like, Nancy Pelosi wants to take down a bunch of statues at the Capitol. Her dad actually put up a statue to a Confederate, to, I believe, Stonewall Jackson in 1948 in Baltimore. She has refused calls to talk about that. Coming up, so everybody wants to argue about Confederate statues, but here's the thing. It's not just Confederate statues. If it were, that would actually be an interesting argument, but now they're going after Churchill statues and Lincoln statues and Washington statues and Jefferson statues, which suggests that maybe there's something more going on here. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months. When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit hfotusa.org.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the left is going after statues. Statues of all types. Statues. Those are the obstacles to progress. There's all of this argument now over the these historical statues. And again, it is not restricted to Confederate statues. The Winston Churchill statue in London has now been boarded up. There's a picture today of it in an actual metal case, like an opaque metal case. You can't see it anymore. It's been boarded up. Statues of Christopher Columbus are being torn down. Now, you don't have to think that Christopher Columbus was a wonderful guy to acknowledge that him crossing several thousand miles of ocean without any clue where he was going and bringing the possibility of Western civilization to the Western Hemisphere was a good thing overall for the world, even if it was a very bad thing for the natives he encountered. And that doesn't mean that Christopher Columbus is a wonderful guy or that you today would have done the same things that Christopher Columbus did. But to rip him out of history and then say all the bad things he did in history are unique to Christopher Columbus, which is obviously untrue, and then to suggest that the real reason you're taking him down is because all of history is filled with bad people, that's not what people are doing. Right? What they're actually suggesting when they tear down the Christopher Columbus statue is the same thing Howard Zinn did at the beginning of his People's History of the United States, suggesting that the vicious evil of Christopher Columbus was not the treatment of the natives per se. It was the fact that he brought capitalism to the Western Hemisphere. That's really what Howard Zinn says. Right? Because Christopher Columbus was a bad, evil Western civilization guy, he should be torn down. And that if Western civilization had never come to the Western Hemisphere, it would have been better for the world generally, which is an extraordinarily charitable read of both history as well as the all circumstances on the North and South American continents prior to the arrival of Western civilization, the sort of ideal of Rousseauian paradise before Westerners ever hit is just not factually true. Steven Pinker has a whole section in his book about the fact that, you know, all societies experience violence. All societies experience tribalism. All societies that we know of experience heavy levels of warfare and conquering. Columbus was not unique in that. What made Western civilization unique is that Western civilization eventually turned against that. That's what makes Western civilization unique. And so Nancy Pelosi has joined in this. She says she wants to take down statues at the Capitol. She wants to take down Confederate statues at the Capitol. Now, the goal of this is really to suggest that anybody who doesn't want to take down Confederate statues stands with the Confederacy. No. Maybe you just like American history and you think it's very, very important to discuss the fact that many of the people who founded the Confederacy actually were high-ranking members. I mean, really high-ranking members of the American government until they founded the Confederacy. And so you have to recognize the evil that is present in every human heart and in American history. What's amazing right now is that when it comes to American history, the left has basically suggested not a well-rounded American history, a well-rounded version of American history. Basically, they've suggested the only book you need to read about American history is Howard Zinn. Katie Turr from MSNBC tweeted this yesterday. A people's history is propagandistic nonsense in large size. I mean, he literally says that the fascism that America defeated in World War II in his book was then taken into the bones of the United States. This is something that Howard Zinn says in his book. I mean, Howard Zinn is a garbage historian. There's a great book called Debunking Howard Zinn that is well worth the read. You should go check that out. Okay, but the left loves this thing. So this is about rethinking American history. And this is why this whole movement, which started off as a unity movement, is starting to lose steam. Because the minute that you diversify the message into things like America is, was, always will be historically marred by its own DNA, all white people are racist inherently in their bones and must atone, like this sort of stuff does not have a shelf life. It doesn't. It has a radioactive half-life for most human beings. And that's what you're starting to see happening right now. Because it turns out that when you are stumping for something universally good, people generally are on your side. When you broaden that out to indict people for things they didn't do, not so much. Coming up, This thing started off as sort of a unified call against police brutality, and now it has morphed into something completely different. The more radical it gets, the less Americans are into it. I'll explain. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
I'm Lee Hole.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Mm-hmm.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
It's violence driving news coverage that makes people vote Republican. The author does a great job explaining his research here. Employees and clients on Civis Analytics complained that Shore's tweet threatened their safety. The next day, Shore apologized for even tweeting out this point. Civis Analytics undertook a review of the episode, and then Shore was fired. So, in other words, if you say that nonviolent protests are better than violent protests, they will fire you now. It doesn't matter that you were a democratic socialist who backed Barack Obama. They will fire you for that. Or let's say, remember, I'm old enough to remember like a week ago when the message from Democrats is that most cops were good, there were just some bad cops. And that didn't mean there wasn't a systemic problem, but most cops were good. I'm old enough to remember when Barack Obama said that. Barack Obama said in his speech that cops were generally doing a good job, that cops were generally good people, trying their best. Well, now we've reached the point where institutions are being bullied into not allowing the cops to pee and poo on their premises. Okay, Berklee School of Music put out a statement that they were deeply sorry for allowing Boston police officers to use the school's restrooms following the downtown protests on May 31st in the wake of the killing of George Floyd. The school says it will not happen again. Berklee President Roger Brown, Chief Financial Officer Mac Heisey, and Public Safety Chief David Ransom said the college had heard expressions of anger and betrayal from their community after they allowed Boston police officers access to poop to the Back Bay School's restrooms. Boston police, of course, have jurisdictions over roads and other public spaces around our campus, but not inside our buildings, Berklee officials said. The decision to allow them into our facilities was ours. This was not a formal decision by the institution, but an informal one made on the spot. We understand that many of our members of our community feel betrayed. We are deeply sorry for the impact this had on our community and for perpetuating feelings of oppression, silencing, and marginalization. Wear the ribbon. Wear the ribbon or pay the price. And that ribbon means you are a racist. The ribbon doesn't mean you're anti-racism. It means acknowledging that you are a racist, acknowledging that everything you do is racist, acknowledging that if you allow a cop to poop in your bathroom, that you are in favor of police brutality. Acknowledge or pay the price. And then you wonder why steam seems to be running out just a little bit here. Because it turns out that when you go too far, people are not super into it. Now, I'm going to bring you some more examples of things going too far. And then you'll see that the Democrats are beginning to change the narrative. So the narrative for the last couple of weeks was America is deeply and systemically racist. America is evil. America is filled with police brutality. And on the first message, there are some fairly good response. I mean, Americans were like, okay, we're also against police brutality. And also, we would like to see black people treated better in the United States because, yeah, that's great. Black people should be treated better in the United States. And everybody was on board. And the Democrats basically got what they wanted, which was to polarize the debate around President Trump and to suggest that all Republicans are racist. They got what they wanted politically, and now they're out. Democrats have moved on. Notice what the media are covering today. The media today are not covering these protests anymore. The media have moved back to COVID-19. Right? The narrative has turned. And now it's Trump's bad because he's going to kill you with COVID-19 again. Right? So it was Trump is bad because he's killing you with COVID-19. Then it was, it's so important to fight racism that you should go out in the streets and infect each other en masse. That's how important it is. And now we're back to Trump is killing you of COVID-19. Why? Because the narrative ran out of steam for the Democrats because they changed the narrative. If they just stuck with the unifying narrative, it wouldn't have been a Democratic narrative. See, Democrats had to do two things. One, find a popular narrative, which they did. Two, try to harness that narrative in pursuit of their own political goals, which they sort of did, and then the narrative ran away from them. And now they're moving back to COVID-19. We're going to explain why in just one second. So this movement has gone too far because, again, the movement has had ramifications that people are expected to swallow that they originally were not up for. Everybody was up for stop the police brutality. Everybody was up for let's take a look at the statistics and try to figure out how we can mitigate problems in the United States. Everybody was up for that. You know what people were not up for? Autonomous zones in the middle of Seattle. So the media have been trying to cram this narrative down our throats. I mean, the media have really been trying to suggest that all that looting and rioting, that was a figment of your imagination. It no longer existed. This was the narrative. Seriously, from the media for a week. Why is Fox News still covering bad things happening in the United States? Everything is great. Everything is great. You remember that time they were breaking into the Foot Locker down the street? That was not a thing. It didn't happen. Poof, it was gone. Figment of your imagination. You don't need the cops. In the words of the first lady of New York City, the wife of Bill de Blasio, she said that New York City would be a nirvana without the police. And so the media duly tried to make America into a nirvana without the police. There's only one problem. It is not a nirvana. It is a hellscape. So over in Seattle, they've set up Chaz. Chaz, the worst name for a republic ever. The Republic of Chaz. The state of Chaz, man. Which sounds like a smooth jazz show on 92.7 The Wave at 2 a.m. The Republic of Chaz is not nearly that mellow or that cool. The Republic of Chaz is actually a terrible, terrible place. The Seattle police chief, who happens to be a person of color, said leaving was not our decision. Like, we were forced to abandon this part of the city by the mayor, Jenny Durkin, and we were not into it because actually it has some pretty bad ramifications. Just not our choice. We weren't up for it.
Leaving the precinct was not my decision. You fought for days to protect it. I asked you to stand on that line day in and day out, to be pelted with projectiles, to be screamed at, threatened, and in some cases hurt. Then to have a change of course nearly 2 weeks in, it seems like an insult to you and our community. Ultimately, the city had other plans for the building and relented to severe public pressure.
Yeah, I mean, when the Seattle PD chief, who is a black woman, is out there ripping into Mayor Jenny Durkin and saying, like, you are just terrible at your job, you may think things have gone wrong. The media are trying to cover for this. Seattle police chief also said, by the way, there's crimes going on in there. Like, it's tripled our 911 time. You call 911 from inside that zone, we cannot get in. Right? It is making it impossible for us to do our job. Here she was yesterday explaining.
Our 911 response times have tripled in the area. They've gone from just over 5 minutes to about 18 minutes. Rapes, robberies, and all sorts of violent acts have been occurring in the area that we're not able to get to. So it is not a right for us not to be able to deploy our officers here.
Okay, that is Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best saying, like, there's crime going on in there, and we can't do anything about it. Meanwhile, Mayor Jenny Durkin, like, because Trump attacked us and Trump said, like, this has to stop, the Democrats are reflexively defending the full takeover of 6 city blocks in the middle of Seattle where lawlessness is running rampant as a block party. Here's idiot Mayor Jenny Durkin. She compared the Republic of Chaz to a block party. She has a block party. It's just like the summer of love out there, except for, you know, the armed bands who are roaming and threatening people with baseball bats, a thing that is actually happening, as we'll see. Here's the mayor comparing Chaz to a block party.
It is not a armed Antifa militia no-go zone. We've had blocks of Seattle and Capitol Hill shut down every summer for everything from block party to pride. This is really not that much of an operational challenge, but we want to make sure that the businesses and residents feel safe.
I love that. The police chief is like, yeah, it's an operational challenge. We can't get in. And the mayor's like, it's not an operational challenge. It's fine. It's fine. Meanwhile, Governor Inslee, Yesterday, he said he knew nothing about the Republic of Chaz. It was a figment of his imagination. By the way, again, like, why couldn't you name it something cool? The Republic of Chaz is just such a bad name. Like, you could choose anything, and you'd come up with the Republic of Chaz, the People's Republic of Chaz. Anyway, Governor Inslee tweeted out, "What we will not allow are threats of military violence against Washingtonians coming from the White House. The U.S. military serves to protect Americans, not the fragility of an insecure president." So you're defending a paramilitary takeover of six city blocks with barricades set up and people's IDs being checked. And the big threat is Trump saying that he's going to restore the rights of people who live inside that zone. I mean, they'll defend anything. When I say that the narrative has gotten away from folks on the left, this is what I mean. If you're now asking most Americans to swallow whole the notion that they themselves are implicitly racist, that you have to allow city blocks to be taken over in the name of wokeness, that we're going to tear down the Washington Monument, that we're going to shut off the pee-pee rooms to all the cops, that we're going to throw out of a job anybody who mentions a fact, that we're going to boycott anybody who says a true thing, most Americans are going to be like, you know what? This is not livable. No. The answer is no. The narrative has gotten away from the Democrats because they emboldened the most radical point of view in their party and decided, instead of centralizing around a unity message that most Americans could get behind, they would instead go for the most radical message and just continue to follow that path. It's pretty incredible. Now, the media, they haven't given up on this. The media are still trying to pretend that the Republic of Chaz is going really well. Now, number one, I have some evidence the Republic of Chaz is not really going all that well. It is sheer hilarity to watch the developments in the developing nation of Chaz. It's pretty spectacular. They set up a farming co-op. I think that they may need some Republicans to set up this farm for them, because I think that their garden is a fail. It looks like they just bought some topsoil, and then they literally just poured it on grass, and then they didn't even dig holes for the plants. It looks like they just stuck the plants directly on top of the sod. And also, they planted like five things. So that will be enough to feed one person a vegan salad 1 month from now. So I have a feeling they may have some severe food shortages in the Republic of Chaz. I like that they've called it the Autonomous Zone, because they put up a sign yesterday of all the things that they need in the Republic of Chaz. And it is a very, very large list. They said supplies needed. I'm looking at this sign. Clothes, more pants, male T-shirts, belts, ICE, the good kind, cigarettes and lighters. ICE, the good kind. I get it. Like, not Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Cigarettes and lighters. Well, I didn't know that was a thing. Lanterns, flashlights, headlamps, portable solar chargers, Gatorade, backpacks, tents, track phone minutes cards, because you got to have the disposable phones, guys. Body lotion. Wow, don't know what's going on in the Republic of Chaz. Shoes, bedding and comforters, zip ties, folding chairs, laundry bags, personal fans, body wash, disinfectant, and sunglasses. It doesn't sound like they're very autonomous. It doesn't sound super autonomous to me, got to be honest with you. Also, we've been hearing that it's very peaceful. Right, it's a block party, according to the mayor. Well, the occupiers forced out a journalist. So a person went in there with a camera, and one of the marks of a fully free zone is that you should be able to go in there and film things, but apparently the people who run the place are not so hot on that. So here's some video of a person basically being put upon by the new police force in the Republic of Chaz. Remember, this was done to abolish the police. So meet the new police, much worse than the old police. Here they are going after a person filming them. Okay, this guy's walking around with a camera, and there is a very large man following him, shouting and chanting, "Who don't matter, this MF-er." So remember that time that people said Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter are not actually mutually exclusive, right? Black Lives Matter just means that people don't pay attention to black lives. That's why we say Black Lives Matter. Well, now you have a person overtly saying that some lives actually don't matter as long as we disagree with them. Right? There's nobody who's saying black lives don't matter. But you got this guy and a crowd chanting, whose life doesn't matter? This guy's life doesn't matter because he's filming in the Republic of Chaz. Things are going great in the developing nation of Chaz. Meanwhile, governance in the Republic of Chaz has fallen on hard times. Yesterday, a hilarious tape broke of them having a struggle session. They were trying to figure out what's coming next in the internecine squabble between the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks over in the Republic of Chaz. Julio Rosas got this tape. He's a reporter for townhall.com. He was on our radio show yesterday. Here were some of the leadership of the Republic of Chaz trying to figure out what they do next. Apparently, there's an argument whether they're supposed to disband, whether they try to take over the neighboring regions of Chaz, or whether they just move the Republic of Chaz to a different area, because apparently they have picked all of the shelves clean. Here are the speakers trying to figure out what exactly they're supposed to be doing now.
This is supposed to be a peaceful protest? Then you know what? Use your words and your pen. Then go ahead and write a review, write a complaint, do what you gotta do. But taking a bunch of folk up there to riot and do all that, what does that solve?
Okay. Well done. Everything going very, very well over here. So here's the problem for Democrats. Because they've gone so far with this thing, because they're now to the point of defending all of this as just a normal sort of block party. And by the way, the media are fully defending it. The best clip of the day was yesterday. A CNN reporter was in the area, and started talking about how peaceful this was, and then in the middle of the clip acknowledges, oh, yeah, there are people who are armed walking around over here and threatening people, and there are people who are trying to break up his segment on Anderson Cooper. The media are just they are an extension. CNN, MSNBC, they are just the media wing of the Democratic Party at this point. So they are willing to repeat any narrative put forth by the Democratic infrastructure. Here's a CNN reporter. Things go wrong for him in this segment.
If, in fact, there is going to be federal officers or federal law enforcement come to this area, it is not going to be a pretty situation. These people have made it clear.
Dr. Farrell in Palos Pedro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palos Cedro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Crushed by a falling statue the other day. And we do have a voting republic here in the United States. Like, that's a thing that we do. Okay, so Democrats are having to turn away from this narrative and turn toward COVID-19. They're going to consolidate their gains, and they're going to try and make the racial argument, and then they're going to move on. Coming up, as the racial narrative broadens beyond the bounds of the popular, Democrats are moving back toward a narrative that they were pushing before. Trump's killing everybody with COVID. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Thank you, America. Staying home isn't as easy as it looks. It's hard missing out on family gatherings, graduations, and weddings. For many, staying home has meant job loss and financial hardship. Infectious diseases experts are fighting COVID-19 in hospitals, public health departments, and laboratories across the country. When you stay home, you're helping us win this fight so we can emerge strong and healthy together again. Sponsored by the Infectious Diseases Society of America Foundation at IDSAFoundation.org.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now.
and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Democrats, they're moving beyond the George Floyd situation, the George Floyd narrative. They're moving back toward COVID-19 as a narrative, mainly because the George Floyd memorial narrative started off as something that most people agreed with, and now it has moved into the realm of the radical. The point was never to solve police brutality. The point for many Democrats, not the protesters, many of the protesters are sincere. The point for top-level Democrats was to channel the anger into anger at Trump. That, for a lot of Democrats, that's what this was about. That's why they broaden the narrative and then kneel, not because they are trying to solve the problem of police brutality, but because they want to drive the broader narrative that America is a systemically racist place and that systemic racism is represented by Donald Trump. So here was Joe Biden doing this routine about Trump on race.
This president, from the very beginning, from the moment he came down that escalator in his golden building, what did he start off saying? I am going to see to it that we get rid of all those Mexican rapists. Do you think you can defeat hate? You can only make it hide. And when you give it oxygen, when a president speaks, no matter how good or bad he is, people listen. And when he speaks and gives credibility to these racist.
Okay, so again, this is the narrative that Democrats have tried to drive. The problem is that they've gotten what they want out of their narrative. Right, they'll continue to push it, right? Kamala Harris is very likely going to be Biden's VP pick, even after she called him a racist for opposing forced busing. Kamala Harris yesterday, she suggested that Donald Trump throwing a rally in Tulsa, which is happening June 19th, which is known as Juneteenth, which was the day, historically speaking, when the Emancipation Proclamation was finally read in Texas, which was the final state to receive news of the Emancipation Proclamation. By the way, Juneteenth should, in fact, be a national holiday. Right? I mean, if we're going to talk about, like, symbolic changes, that'd be great. Juneteenth should be a national holiday. Frederick Douglass should be on our nation's currency, right? These are things that I've been saying for years. I mean, this is nothing new. But Kamala Harris suggests that because Trump is speaking in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is a place in the United States, on June 19th, this means to wink and nod at white supremacists because, of course, one of the great race riots in American history was a white-on-black race riot in 1921 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm sure that's exactly what was going through Trump's head. He probably was going, Trump, known for his granular attention to American history, probably thought to himself, what could I do to signal to white supremacists? I know I'm going to go to Tulsa for an understudied, like really, most Americans don't know about the Tulsa race riots unless they just watched Watchmen, right, on HBO. That was the first many Americans knew about that, which is a travesty. Most Americans should know about that. But you think Trump was like, that little-known historical or under-known historical situation, I'm going to go there, I'm going to signal to white supremacists and do it on Juneteenth, another under-known historical circumstance. Or do you think maybe somebody just scheduled him an event and he's going there? But this is the narrative, right? The problem is that at this point, because the narrative has moved away from the Democrats, because they've gotten what they want out of it, they've gotten the poll numbers out of it, they've gotten to dump Trump on numbers because of his response to this whole thing. And now because things are getting worse, not better. Now because there are no policy platforms on the page that are actually going to result in any political benefits to them. See, here's the thing. If they get a wide bipartisan bill to ban chokeholds, it doesn't benefit Democrats at all. And they're not going to do anything like racial reparations because it's too divisive and most Americans don't like them. So instead, they go to the narrative. The narrative is Trump is bad. They got what they wanted. So now they're just moving on to COVID-19 again, which is going to be a hard press because, again, they're the ones who said to everybody, go out and protest in the streets without masks, which, by the way, is spooking the stock market. And it is the media coverage spooking the stock market because the reality is we are not actually seeing spikes in these states. What we are seeing is a slow and gradual rise in states where this thing never went away. Right? This isn't a second wave. This is a first wave. Because it turns out that when you lock down, all you do is prevent the first wave, which is something I've been talking about for a long time. When you relieve lockdown, then people are going to get infected. But Tom Perez is now back to suggesting that Trump is killing black people with his COVID-19 response. Here's Tom Perez, the DNC chair.
Donald Trump, rather than battling bigotry, wants to battle Twitter. Rather than bringing us together, he wants to continue to drive us apart. What has he done to black people in America? He has killed them in some places because of his failed response to coronavirus, the unemployment rate, joblessness, hopelessness that he is trying to stoke. The differences between Joe Biden and Donald Trump couldn't be clearer.
So this is back to the COVID-19 narrative. So I hope that everybody enjoyed 2 weeks of the George Floyd narrative. I hope they enjoyed it, because it turned out that the Democrats weren't sincere about actually wanting change. All they wanted to do was benefit from unrest. Again, not the protesters, Democratic politicians. But now we're back to COVID-19, guys. So the narrative is over. Everybody back to their regular day jobs of suggesting that Donald Trump is killing people because of ending lockdowns, even while Democratic governors are ending lockdowns. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrup. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signing into law a package of police accountability measures.
Well, you have set standards, right? We have state laws. You have federal laws on what must be done by every police department. This would be above and beyond that. See, issues like, what should the citizen complaint mechanism be?
Cuomo says the laws will ban police chokeholds and make it easier to sue people who call the police on others without good reason.
The police are paid for by the community. They're paid for by the taxpayer. They're not written into the Old Testament. The community pays for the police department that they want. So what police department do you want?
The law will also set up a special prosecutor's office to investigate the deaths of people during and following encounters with police officers. Daily coronavirus hospitalizations in Texas reach a new high for the third time in 4 days. This as state officials continue to loosen restrictions on public activities. Vice President Pence traveled to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania today, where he met with faith and community leaders to hear their concerns following the death of George Floyd.
The president and I are intent on listening and learning, not just how we might equip people that serve in law enforcement with more tools, more training in the days ahead, but how we also might deal with some of the historic underlying inequities.
Pence's trip, entitled the Great American Comeback Tour, visit was organized by America First Policies, a nonprofit associated with the America First Action Super PAC that supports the president's reelection. On Wall Street on Friday, the Dow ended the week 477 points higher. The Nasdaq finished 97 points up. This is townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market, have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411 and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text money to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
The Federal Reserve has issued its semi-annual monetary policy report to Congress.
Coming 2 days after its open market committee meeting, the Federal Reserve again promises to use what it calls its full range of tools to pull the country out of a coronavirus-induced recession. The Fed is also reiterating its signal that it would keep interest rates at historic lows through 2022. This report will be the basis of 2 days of Capitol Hill testimony by Chair Jerome Powell next week.
George Bonzani reporting. A group of University of Texas football players and athletes across several sports calling on the school to rename several campus buildings, change the traditional school song, and donate a percentage of athletic department revenue to organizations supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. It said the football team will participate in required team activities but would not help recruit future players. This is townhall.com. Puerto Rico's governor says she'll lift nearly all restrictions aimed at curbing coronavirus cases, which means beaches, churches, and businesses across the U.S. territory will reopen after a three-month shutdown.
Governor Wanda Vasquez said Thursday the changes will occur starting next week.
She says businesses, including gyms and movie theaters, will be allowed to operate 7 days a week. However, she says an overnight curfew will remain in place for 2 weeks, with people required to stay inside from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. The governor also said that Puerto Rico will begin welcoming tourists again starting July 15th, and that airport screenings will continue. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Meanwhile, the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, refusing to disclose what businesses received coronavirus aid, insisting on secrecy for a $600 billion-plus loan program that was funded by U.S. taxpayers. Check out more on these stories. Log on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premium is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell Branch Manager, NMLS number 1067640, PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579. Or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Running away from the cops, they might make it harder for a cop to be a cop, but they still run these cities, and they understand that if they get rid of the cops, it ain't going to go great. So they're not doing any of that. They're not going to do race reparations. It's not a thing that's going to happen. It's unpopular with the American people. So they got what they wanted, which was they signaled to lots of black Americans that Donald Trump is a bad man and that people who are not willing to go along with the narrative of systemic racism were bad and evil. And so now they're shifting back to Trump is a racist because of COVID-19. They're shifting back to COVID-19 response. Now, I've suggested for a couple of weeks that it is political malpractice for the president to reopen his rallies. That is political malpractice. And the reason it's political malpractice is because Democrats now own COVID-19. They do. They were the ones who were coming out and saying, guys, you know, it's totally fine to be out there and rallying so long as, you know, you're rallying for the right cause. So the Democrats basically declared COVID-19 over. And President Trump could have said that. He could have said, listen, it's not over. People are still dying. What are you doing? Instead, President Trump decided that, okay, well, if this thing is over, I'm going to go do rallies because I like rallies. That's not a smart political move because it allows Democrats to then try to jump back on the train of every death is Trump's fault. So Tom Perez started to do that yesterday, the head of the DNC. He said Trump is killing black people with the COVID-19 response. Now, as we will see, I'm going to read you a story from the Wall Street Journal about how New York blew this thing. If we're going to talk about people who blew this thing, Andrew Cuomo and Bill de Blasio have blood on their hands from the way they blew this thing. But here's Tom Perez trying to blame Trump for COVID-19.
Donald Trump, rather than battling bigotry, wants to battle Twitter. Rather than bringing us together, he wants to continue to drive us apart. What has he done to black people in America? He has killed them in some places because of his failed response to coronavirus, the unemployment rate, joblessness, hopelessness that he is trying to stoke. The differences between Joe Biden and Donald Trump couldn't be clearer.
It's all about COVID-19. Okay, there's only one problem with this, which is that it was the Democrats largely who blew COVID-19. Donald Trump provided the necessary – there was no ventilator shortage. Donald Trump had the feds in there building beds in New York. Donald Trump sent Navy ships there. Okay, and guess what? The feds weren't the problem. The problem was New York Democratic governance. According to the Wall Street Journal, New York leaders faced an unanticipated crisis as the new coronavirus overwhelmed the nation's largest city. The response was marred by missed warning signs and policies that many healthcare workers say put residents at greater risk and led to unnecessary deaths. In the first few days of March, Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio assured New Yorkers things were under control. On March 2nd, Mr. de Blasio tweeted that people should go see a movie. Only after the disease had gripped the city's low-income neighborhoods in early March did Governor Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio mobilize public and private hospitals to create more beds and ICUs. The hasty expansion that ensued, led by New York government leaders and hospital administrators, produced mistakes that helped worsen the crisis, healthcare workers say. The Wall Street Journal talked to nearly 90 frontline doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, hospital administrators, and government officials. They reviewed emails, legal documents, and memos to analyze what went wrong. Here are some of the missteps. Improper patient transfers. Some patients were too sick to have been transferred between hospitals. Squabbling between Cuomo and de Blasio contributed to an uncoordinated effort. Insufficient isolation protocols. Hospitals often mixed infected patients with the uninfected early on, and the virus then spread to non-COVID-19 units. Inadequate staff planning. Hospitals added hundreds of ICU beds, but not always enough trained staff, leading to improper treatments and overlooking patients dying alone. Mixed messages. State, city government, hospital workers kept shifting guidelines about when exposed and ill frontline workers should come back. Over-reliance on government sources for key equipment. Hospitals turned to the state and federal government for hundreds of ventilators. Many were faulty or inadequate. Procurement planning gaps. While leaders focused attention on procuring ventilators, hospitals didn't always provide for adequate supplies of critical resources, including oxygen, vital signs monitors, and dialysis machines. Incomplete staff protection policies. Many hospitals provided staff with insufficient protective equipment and testing. A spokeswoman for de Blasio, Freddie Goldstein, and a member of Mr. Cuomo's virus task force, Gareth Rhodes, said the city and state did everything they could to increase hospital capacity and enhance social distancing once the risk became clear. Ultimately, our hospitals withstood the pressure, and our doctors and nurses delivered heroically, said Goldstein. Kenneth Raske, president of the Greater New York Hospital Association, defended the state and hospital's response as remarkable considering the wartime conditions. But not so much. One planning lapse showed up in improper patient transfer. More than 1,600 largely COVID-19 patients in two of the state's largest hospital systems were moved from overloaded hospitals to ones less hit, according to spokespeople for those systems. Some patients arrived in worse condition than when they left, sometimes without names and treatment information, said doctors and nurses at several hospitals. Under normal protocol, only stable patients are transferred. On one shift, according to Dr. David Bouchavili, who worked many shifts at Bellevue, he was alarmed to see 10 new transfers in beds with no medical information. A Health Plus Hospital spokeswoman, Stephanie Guzman, said the city's 11 facility hospital system provided the highest quality care to all New Yorkers. Only the least sick patients were transferred between hospitals. But apparently that's not really true. Danny Lever, a spokeswoman for the governor, said the system wasn't designed for individual patient transfers. Bottom line is that de Blasio and Cuomo blew this thing, and they blew it in massive, massive fashion. And then they blame Trump. It's always easy to blame Trump when the media is on board with all of that. Government officials and hospital administrators did not create adequate plans to provide the needed staff as they expanded bands, as they expanded beds into operating theaters, old auditoriums, and lobbies. Creating beds isn't tough, said Northwell CEO Michael Dowling. The issues that get complicated with the creation of beds is staffing. It's not like you can put any staff on any bed in any place. As COVID-19 patients flooded into New York Presbyterian Columbia, the private hospital created new pop-up ICUs. The inadequacy of staffing quickly became clear in one operating room turned ICU. Garbage in the makeshift 80-bed unit overflowed with contaminated needles, masks, and gowns. Urine and bloodstains were at times found on the ground and equipment, according to workers and emails, in the middle of a pandemic. So well done, everybody. During the surge's early days, Cuomo de Blasio hospital officials talked publicly about the need for ventilators. That procurement's emphasis, said some medical workers, overshadowed staffing and other vital needs like oxygen and oxygen monitoring. Bottom line is, they blew it. People died. Andrew Cuomo, still hero of the Republic. Bill de Blasio, still hero of the Republic. Well done, everybody. So while everybody blames Trump in the media, recognize who is actually in charge here. We're going to get to more of this in just 1 second. First, for weeks I've been telling you about FreedomWorks' hashtag Love America campaign, and it's great. You should still honor your pledge to socially distance, wear a mask when you can, make sure that you're taking care of the elderly and making sure they have the resources they need. But right now, we're getting ready for reopening. And it's kind of important that we actually keep that reopening going. There's a lot of pushback from the left suddenly. So for a couple of weeks, it was totally cool. Not only was reopening cool, you could go out and you could protest in the streets and spit on each other en masse, so long as you were doing it for the right causes. Well, now it turns out the protests are kind of petering out. And the Democrats want you all to go back in your home. And they want to blame Trump for everything bad that happens. The reality is we can reopen safely. We can do it. We can do it by being responsible citizens. And in fact, we don't need Democrats' permission to go out and lead our lives. We don't need their permission to send our kids back to school. We don't need their permission in order to go to the grocery store or to go back to church. We just have to be responsible. We certainly don't need permission from Phil Murphy and Bill de Blasio on this sort of stuff. Instead, text my name, Ben, to 41490. Send your governor and the White House a message. It's time to reopen America in safe and responsible fashion. Text my name, Ben, to 41490 and help out my friends over at Freedom Works right now. Text Ben to 41490. Meanwhile, stocks took a serious downturn yesterday. Stocks dumped, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dumped 1,861 points, or 6.9% closing, at 25,128.17. The S&P 500 also slid nearly 6%. The NASDAQ Composite dropped 5.3%. Now, this was on news that people were worried about a second outbreak when it came to COVID-19. But it's not really clear that we are seeing a second wave so much as the first wave never really went away. So the numbers from Texas, for example, people are saying new levels of hospitalization in Texas. They're not greatly higher than they were 2 weeks ago. They've basically been fairly stable. They're a little bit up. Meanwhile, the same is true in various other states. According to Scott Gottlieb, former FDA commissioner, the total COVID positivity rate across the nation is still flat. Certain states are experiencing outbreaks. Testing is continuing to expand. So positivity rate is really not the greatest measure. It's hospitalization rate that people are mostly worried about. And the hospitalization rates seem like they're fairly stable, except in perhaps Arizona, where you've seen an increase in hospitalization rates. You're seeing a rise in Texas in the rolling average. This is, of course, not a great surprise. Right? As you open a state, you expect to see a rise. Now, the truth is that some of this follows reopening, and some of this is following these giant protests. People are immediately trying to pretend the protests never happened. What day did the protest start? I believe the protest started like May 31st. May 29th? Is that right? I believe that the first protests were May 29th. I think that's right. Yes, May 29th. So, or May 28th even. Okay, so we are now, what, 2.5 weeks removed from the first protests? That would be about the time you'd expect to see some increases in COVID-19. People are saying this is due to the reopening, but for 2 weeks there was no giant reopening. And then there was no giant spike. And then we're starting to see a gradual increase. Now, that is not a great shock, the gradual increase. The question is whether it swamps the system. So I'm kind of surprised that the market is so surprised at all of this. You know, we got to be careful with the reopening, but the notion that we are in the middle of a quote-unquote second wave, there was never a break from the first wave. All that happened is that things spiked in New York, and then they went back down. Every other place in the country, we've been seeing a slow but steady increase, a fairly stable level of infection, and a fairly stable level of hospitalization. Larry Kudlow is being ripped for saying this, but he's right. He says there's not a second wave of coronavirus. He says there's no emergency. There's no second wave. I don't know where that got started on Wall Street. He said there's no second spike. Spike would imply that there's like a giant jump. There is no giant jump. He says you have certain spots that are seeing a little bit of a jump up. Some small metro areas are seeing it. The CDC and health people are all over it. They've sent task forces out to deal with it. There are some flare-ups. That doesn't mean this thing is over. It means that you can expect that this will remain a constant feature of public life for a fairly long time. But the attempt to paint this as Trump's fault, as opposed to, you know, the giant protests, is pretty amusing from the media. Steve Mnuchin correctly says, look, this is just the new normal. The new normal is this thing is out there. You're going to have to take care of yourself. Who's been saying this for months? That we were going to end up where Sweden ended up. We're just going to take longer to get there. That we were going to say to people, go out, live your lives, social distance, wear a mask, make your own decisions. If you don't feel safe, don't go out. Who said this months ago? It was me, because obviously this is the direction it was headed. And it's headed everywhere there in Europe. Steve Mnuchin said, listen, the possibility of another large-scale lockdown is just not a reality. We're not going to be able to do that. And it's true. Most Americans are not going back in their houses for months on end for this thing.
We can't shut down the economy again. I think we've learned that if you shut down the economy, you're going to create more damage, and not just economic damage, but there are other areas, and we've talked about this, of medical problems and everything else that get put on hold. I think it was very prudent what the president did, but I think we've learned a lot.
What, I mean, again, correct. Mnuchin is right. Now, people are going to be more cautious, and they should be more cautious. There's some great information out today that basically says that mask wearing is the key to knocking this thing down. That if you're out in public, the social distancing is not even as important, because if you're out in public, social distancing and not wearing a mask, you don't know how far your projectile sneeze is going to go. But if everybody wore a mask, you would knock this thing down really, really quickly. Right? That's sort of the basic idea here. But the bottom line here is that the Democrats, who are now blaming Trump for all of this, are really silly. The idea that we are experiencing anything unpredictable is really silly. This is not unpredictable. It is full on predictable. This was going to happen as you reopen. It is still important to reopen. We should not be relocking down. We should instead be cautious and careful. And there was a whole group of people 3 days ago who were saying that caution and care mattered not so long as your political position was correct. All righty, more on this in just a moment. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
There's no doubt about it. The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. And as some businesses gradually open back up, customers want to remain safe. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool for businesses that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, allowing brick-and-mortar businesses of all sizes a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. Texting is a more powerful way for local businesses to adapt to the new normal. Podium even assists in accepting safe, no-contact payments. Podium is making it easier than ever for businesses of all sizes to get started with their new starter package. Within minutes of signing up, your business could be texting. Go to podium.com/news. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. That's podium.com/news today.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So the Democratic narrative is obviously that Trump is a racist. I mean, this is the way they are going with this. And it ties directly into the last several weeks, because you do have to wonder, why is it the media decided, you know, right now of all times, that the chief arena of American discontent was racism? I mean, we were in the middle of a global pandemic that was really hitting everybody. And then the media was trying to turn it into a racial narrative. And then the media decided they were going to drive to abstraction the narrative that everybody in America who was white was tacitly racist, that America was systemically racist, and all the rest. Well, you can't view this outside of the realm of politics. There are a lot of good-hearted people out there who are marching against police brutality and marching against racism. And then there are a lot of members of the media who really were just fostering a narrative, and a lot of Democrats who are making political hay out of a narrative. Perfect example, Representative Ruben Gallego. He came out yesterday, and he basically let the cat out of the bag. He said the quiet part out loud, that a lot of this is political, and that the goal here is to peg a lot of Trump supporters as racist, which, of course, is no different than the Democratic goal in 2012 to peg Romney supporters as racist, or the goal in 2004 to peg Bush supporters as racist, or McCain supporters as racist, or anybody else. Here was Ruben Gallego basically saying the quiet part out loud.
All he has left at this point are these angry, white men and women
that align somehow with the Confederacy or the grievedness that comes with it. And he just can't get rid of them. And so he'd rather, you know, stick with what he knows and trying to, you know, go out, do outreach to, I would say, other people.
Ah, so we're on the old Confederates now. So if you support Trump against, you know, like rioting and looting, or against the larger narrative that America is deeply and systemically evil, then it's because you're a neo-Confederate. The Democrats are basically just saying the quiet part out loud right now. And they're willing to stretch the truth in order to get here. So Kamala Harris, the Democratic senator, who once upon a time was calling Joe Biden a racist. Remember that time when she jumped to the top of the polls after calling Joe Biden a racist? And now is basically standing outside his house in the boombox asking him to be VP? Well, the senator from California, she took on the fact that President Trump is throwing a rally on June 19th in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So you may say to yourself, well, why is that bad? Well, the answer is because there are two things that are important in that sentence. June 19th, which is known as Juneteenth, for people who are historically aware, that is the day that the Emancipation Proclamation was finally read in the last state in the Union, Texas. And, you know, that is known as Juneteenth. It probably should be a national holiday. I've been in favor of that. Don't see any problem with it. That's Juneteenth. Tulsa, Oklahoma. So what's wrong with that? Well, in Tulsa, there was a race riot, a white-on-black race riot that involved, like, allegedly, apparently, planes dropping bombs on black people. Like, it was really crazy. You can see it at the beginning of the new series Watchmen on HBO. And that happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So in order to get to the point where Trump is racist, follow the dots here. You have to believe that Trump knew about Juneteenth, also knew about a race riot in 1921 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and deliberately decided to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma in 2020 on Juneteenth in order to give a secret bat signal, in order to give a secret decoder signal to the white supremacists. That's what you have to believe. That Trump is not only historically aware, he is hyper aware. He's hyper aware, guys. In granular detail does he know about Juneteenth. In granular detail does he know about the race riots of Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921. And that he was trying to send this message, this quiet message, to his viciously white supremacist base. This is what Kamala Harris tweeted. She said, this isn't just a wink to white supremacists. He's throwing them a welcome home party. Now, does she have any evidence that anyone who's going to show up in Tulsa, Oklahoma is a white supremacist? Does she have any evidence that Trump is a white supremacist? She does not. But, again, the entire narrative here is that Trump is a racist and anyone who's going to vote for Trump is a racist. Joe Biden is trying to push this as well. He says that Trump is a racist, and then what is his great evidence? His great evidence is that Trump said something about how there were some good people and also some rapists who were coming across the Mexican border back in 2015. So we're going to go all the way back to 2015 for Joe Biden to call Trump a racist. Again, I'm going to take this with a grain of salt, considering this dude suggested that Mitt Romney wanted to put black people back in chains. Here's Joe Biden going off on this.
This president, from the very beginning, from the moment he came down that escalator in his golden building, what did he start off saying? I am going to see to it that we get rid of all those Mexican rapists. Do you think you can defeat hate? You can only make it hide. And when you give it oxygen, when a president speaks, no matter how good or bad he is, people listen. And when he speaks and gives credibility to these racist, watch my language.
Again, here, this is the campaign. The campaign is, as always, Republicans are racist. And so it just happens that they had to draw a narrative that was broad enough for Republicans to oppose. Again, this is the game. The game is, you say a message. Everybody agrees with the message. But that doesn't help you. If everybody agrees police brutality and racism are bad, how do you make hay off of that? So then you broaden the message to include radicalism. And then people are like, well, now I'm not on board. And say, ah, now you're a racist. You weren't willing to go far enough. You're a racist. This is why you saw Democrats sort of winking and nodding at rioting and looting. Because they understood that if it were just about Americans not liking racism, you can't make political hay out of that. Instead, what you have to do is suggest that you are now a racist for wanting to stop rioting and looting. Now, you're not going to take any policies that would actually continue to advance rioting and looting, but what you will do is signal that there's a group of malign racists out there who vote Republican and who are secretly Confederate supporters. That is the goal. And meanwhile, Joe Biden, who can't string a sentence together, I mean, literally cannot string a sentence together. So yesterday, it was amazing. I mean, he just forgot what he was talking about in the middle of what he was talking about and just starts mumbling to himself.
You know, the rapidly rising
And now Joe Biden has a new pitch. The pitch is that Trump's going to try and steal the election. Remember that time when Donald Trump was very, very bad, for suggesting that he would not accept the results of the 2016 election? And then he won. And then Hillary Clinton didn't accept the results forever. And the Democrats still think that Stacey Abrams is governor of Georgia. Well, now Joe Biden is suggesting that if Trump doesn't win, he's going to steal the election. That's his goal.
This president's going to try to steal this election. This is the guy who said that all mail-in ballots are fraudulent, direct voting by mail, while he sits behind the desk in the Oval Office and writes his mail-in ballot to vote in the primary. This is a guy you have 23, I believe, of these states have passed over 82 pieces of legislation, making it harder for people to vote.
Right, so he thinks Trump's going to try to steal the election. Man, it's going to get ugly. No matter how this election goes, one side is just not going to accept the results. And it's going to get really, really... You think it's ugly now? Wait until November. All right, coming up, we're going to be taking your calls at 855-236-3228. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Because of the probability of our power being shut off during wind events or fires, many people are installing standby generators. Shasta Gas is now selling standby generators with propane tanks so that you will have home power during these outages. Give us a call at 365-3793 to get a quote on a generator and tank installation. That number again is 365-3793.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
California lawmakers created a new statute in 2018 preventing public employers from disparaging unions. The statute was designed to undercut the 2018 Supreme Court Janus decision, which gave public employees an opt-out right from paying any union dues. Now, seven elected officials in California are suing the California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will provide free legal help to any employees who, as a matter of conscience, seek to opt out from paying union dues.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile, because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. Melissa in Jacksonville, Florida. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Melissa.
Hey, Ben. I had a question for you. What are your thoughts with the upcoming election right around the corner? All the looting and rioting taking place. Are cities being held hostage? Are officers being attacked and assaulted? And President Trump not taking a harder stance, just, you know, we're going to do something, but then he doesn't do anything. And it's getting worse. It's getting way worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think that President Trump's tough talk needs to be translated into tougher action. I mean, he keeps tweeting things out about how he's going to stop what's going on in Seattle, but then he doesn't. And Governor Reagan, right, when Ronald Reagan was governor of California, there was a very well-publicized event when he was governor of California where Berkeley student protesters and rioters took over the offices at Berkeley, and they took over a space at Berkeley. And he literally brought in tanks. I mean, I don't think that Trump has to do that. But the fact that he appears to be sort of saying – either say nothing and then quietly push policy, or come out there and express that you are going to do something and do something. But it appears weak when you say law and order and then you don't actually do anything. Or when you say that we won't allow this in Seattle and then you just don't do anything. Like, that's not a good look. By the way, right now, if you are a small town – there's never been a better time in history if you're a small town to recruit good police officers. Seriously. Like, if I were the mayor of a small town, I would be offering $20,000 bonuses to any major city police officer with a clean record to come and work for me. Because, my goodness, I mean, if you're a police officer in a major city, why would you want to work in a major city under the conditions that have now been placed upon you by local government, which is allowing people to run roughshod over police officers, not defending police officers, even in defensible situations? I mean, the right has a campaign platform here, and that is, you know what the precondition to any sort of fun and liberty is? A lawful society. You know what Democrats are willing to allow to happen? They're willing to allow all of this to slip back into chaos, and we've been watching it. How has the Trump campaign not put out an ad just of various Democratic politicians basically poo-pooing the rioting and the looting? How has the Trump campaign not put out material pointing out that Democratic mayors have been allowing this stuff to occur in their cities? Like, it's political malpractice. I am astonished at the level of political malpractice by the Trump campaign. I mean, and it's frustrating because as somebody who plans on voting for Trump, I do not understand how have they not put out an ad already on COVID that says here's a giant compendium of all the Democratic governors saying they got what they needed from Trump, right? And then the media just lying about it, right? How is that possible? Like, this is run a campaign, but if you think that you're going to run everything from Twitter, it ain't going to work that way. And as you say, like, I don't think most Americans are on board with the rioting and the looting. I think there's a certain species of woke liberal white women in the suburbs, as reported by the Washington Post, who are trying to convince themselves that rioting and looting are just the expressions of discontent of the oppressed classes. But I don't think that most people deep down believe that, because they want to treat people as individuals. And they believe that no matter how bad things were 400 years ago or 50 years ago, or no matter how bad your home life was, you don't get to just shatter the windows at a Target and walk away with a TV.
Exactly. It's just like there's no accountability, and it's time. We're ready for him to act. His supporters, Trump supporters, are tired of seeing this. We're ready for him to do something. And he's losing my respect by not acting, by not doing something.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's exactly right. I think that's exactly right. I think that people voted for Trump, and they backed Trump because they saw him as the stopgap between what the left wants and us, right? I mean, that really is what Trump was. If you ask Trump supporters, they didn't support him because of the tweeting. They didn't support him because he was so brash and bold. They supported him because he was this stolid wall that was going to stand against bad left policy that was destructive to the country. Well, I've never seen a bad left policy as destructive to the country as a week-long shutdown of all major city services because you have to let rioters and looters run rampant. And then the president's big response to that was, I'm going to tweet some stuff, I'm going to say some stuff. Again, this is coming from somebody who is, again, I plan on voting for the man, but I understand why people are disillusioned with the notion that if the wall doesn't hold and it's just a bunch of tweets, then what exactly did Republicans get for the bargain? Like, yes, better than the alternative, but you can't portray yourself as the leader of the strong strength stand against weakness brigade. And then basically your response amounts to, I'm going to go on TV and I'm going to say mean things about the mayor of Seattle.
Well, the left's always going to bash him, whatever he does or doesn't do. At this point in time, I think he needs to listen to his supporters, the ones that voted him in, and put a stop to all of this. Stop it.
It's and by the way, if he had said in the middle of the rioting and the looting, if he had said, listen, you guys don't have your cities under control, I'm calling the Insurrection Act. We're going to send in the the military, I mean, as Tom Cotton suggested, and we're going to stop this thing dead. Yep. It's done. We're not going to allow this kind of rampant looting and destruction. We're not going to allow your mayors to basically sacrifice your rights on behalf of criminality. If he had done that, he would have gotten a lot of blowback in the moment. And then he would have been able to put out a bunch of ads saying, you know who stopped the rioting and the looting in your cities? It was me.
Yeah.
Right? And like politically speaking, put aside the right and wrong of it. Melissa, I appreciate the call. Jonah in Michigan, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Jonah.
Hi, Ben. My question for you, as a 23-year-old pursuing his bachelor's degree, I'm very predominantly conservative. And as things go on, personally, I don't believe in systematic racism. I don't believe in looting. As I move towards universities in Michigan, it's very liberal-based. What would your advice be to someone that doesn't want to sacrifice their academic achievements but doesn't want to give up their moral and beliefs integrity?
Yeah, I've said this to so many students over the years. I have a very large difference of opinion with my good friend Dennis Prager on this. So Dennis Prager is always of the mind, you speak up and you speak out, and damn the consequences. And I think, Dennis, you went to college in 1970. Like, that's not how this thing works. Right now, why you would give a weapon to your political enemies to destroy your career is beyond me. You have to determine for yourself, what is the purpose of each conversation? Is the outcome something that you're looking for, that is possible, or is it just you venting spleen? And you do this every day in your interactions with family. Or you have family members, you have a disagreement. So, you know, you could say something really harmful to them. You could win the argument, but the cost may be worth more than the benefit. Well, the same thing happens in academia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is just a simple fact of life that people do need to keep their heads down in many cases in the academic world in order to get ahead. And you can rebel against that. You can shout about it. But the predictable consequences of that are quite real. So you have to determine when you can take it, when you can't. You have to determine what your alternatives are. Like, I always encourage everybody to really think through the purpose of what they are doing on a day-to-day level, because that is the way to lead a rewarding life. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't lead a rebellion against that if you think that's something that's likely to succeed, or if you're willing to take the L, willing to take the loss just to make a point. I sometimes think that's worthwhile. I've done it myself. But I think that people don't think this stuff through, and very often it's like, I'm mad, I'm putting something up on Facebook, and then there's a predictable consequence. Isn't that bad? Yes, it is very bad. Also, you damaged yourself, and that two things can be true. You can be right, and also you could have done something that wasn't particularly useful.
Absolutely. I completely agree, and I agree with you on picking and choosing your battles, especially when there's so much on the line. And a lot of people that post on Facebook, they have no reprimand form of consequences or accountability because it's so shareable, it's so common. So I completely agree with you, and I really do appreciate your advice on that.
Yeah, you bet, Jonah. I think it's a more livable standard than say what you want whenever you want and then expect the world to conform to your opinions. John in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, John.
Yeah, I just had a quick question about what's going on with NASCAR. With their fan base, knowing who attends their races and who watches, buys their merchandise, how do you feel about them taking down the Confederate flag?
How do I feel about it? I mean, NASCAR is a private organization. I think they can do whatever they want. I think that them buying into the narrative that everybody flying a Confederate flag is a racist is ridiculous. I think that they ought to recognize that a lot of their fans are people who fly the Confederate flag on their trucks as a sign of sympathy for sort of Southern regional pride, having nothing to do with the actual Confederacy and having nothing to do with slavery and racism. I understand as a branding matter why NASCAR wouldn't want a bunch of Confederate flags flying at a time when they're trying to broaden out their constituency. So, you know, let's put it this way. I have less of a problem with NASCAR saying we don't want Confederate flags here than I do with NASCAR saying it's totally fine to kneel for the national anthem. Right? I think those are two very different things. I think that you can say, I think the Confederate flag is alienating to a lot of our fan base. Once you start saying the American flag is very alienating to a lot of our fan base, I think you've gone too far.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. Now that you put it like that, completely agree with you.
I appreciate it, John. Thanks for the call. Riley in Florida, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Riley.
Hey, Ben, how are you? Big fan. Thank you for having me. So my question to you is, so I'm actually about to start my career as a law enforcement officer in my small hometown in Florida in a few weeks. And obviously with all this negativity going on towards law enforcement and all this disbanding and defunding of police, I just want to hear your opinion as far as, you know, what steps we actually should take as far as if we're going to defund the police and what exactly is the left looking to put this money into? Because if I'm not mistaken, you know, a lot of the left were the ones who wanted, you know, to ban guns for citizens and have the police have, you know, higher forces and more numbers. And now all of a sudden they're like, let's disband and reform and get rid of the police.
Yeah, this is exactly right. One of the things that you've been seeing is people lying about how budgeting works. So, for example, in Los Angeles, you'll see them say, well, look at this. One third of the LA budget is focused in on the police and the other two thirds are focused in on social services. Why is it that proportion is way too high? Yes, because when it comes to school and education, one third of the state budget is focused on education. Like, not all sources of money are the same. The city doesn't pay for all the local schools. In L.A., LAUSD is not paid for specifically by the L.A. City Council. It is paid for in part by local property taxes, but it is paid for in large measure by the state of California, right? Failing to acknowledge that there are different sources of money, that the L.A. City taxes generally pay for the cops, the county and state taxes generally pay for education. That's a mistake that a lot of people are making when they look at the numbers. Like, you actually have to look at the overall amount of money spent on education in your area from all sources versus the amount spent on police. But again, I don't think these are mutually exclusive. The notion that you are going to shift resources from the cops to mental health services, I don't understand why you wouldn't just increase the amount of money you're spending on mental health services. These places are blowing out the taxes anyway. Like, where is all this money going?
Absolutely.
It's going to a bunch of social workers. By the way, the social workers are not solving these problems. Okay, you can increase unemployment benefits. That is not solving the problem of violent crime in these areas. We've had unemployment benefits. We've spent $5 trillion in the war on poverty. It has not solved the problem of vast crime gaps in major American cities between racial groups. Right? Those disparities have not been solved by spending disproportionate amounts of state taxpayer dollars in those areas. Right? The answer here, if you want to solve crime, is you need more cops. Everybody knows it. Joe Biden knows it. I mean, if you ask, Joe Biden has been saying it. Joe Biden was asked about defund the police. He said, well, maybe we actually might need to increase the police. Everybody's ignoring that because they want to pretend that everybody who's pro-police is outside the mainstream. But everybody knows that the police are the line between civilization and anarchy. We saw that over the past week. And if I were, as I said before, if I were running a local area, if I were mayor of a local area, I would be offering bonuses to good police officers to move to my area and work there. I'd make my town the safest town that I could. And I'm bewildered by the idea that you're going to make the town safer by defunding the cops. I mean, by the way, the idea that mental illness workers should be first line of defense when it comes to there's a homeless guy in the street talking to himself. I don't disagree with that. I get that. But the idea that you're going to call a mental health worker when that guy on the street who's talking to himself is also running around with a knife is insane. Right? I mean, that's not the same situation.
Yeah. No, exactly, of course. And yeah, I agree with you as far as the small towns, you know, increasing the pay. You know, I work in a small town that is upper middle class town, and they have been upping the pay and increasing the salaries because, again, it is a dangerous job. Officers are putting their lives on the line every single day, you know, and really don't get a lot of respect for it. And I believe the amount of pay that was around here was substantial to what it should have been. And they're moving it up, which I appreciate. And it's not just that, you know, being, you know, going into law enforcement is obviously something that's very difficult nowadays. And, you know, of course, I have people that attack me for it all the time. But you know what? Like, I stay proud about it. You know, I hope all my brothers and sisters in blue stay positive towards it. And, you know, we'll get through this situation in a positive light. At least I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, that would certainly be nice because this is a really, really negative situation. And again, people castigating police are the first people to call cops the minute something goes wrong. The same people, cops are all that. Berklee School of Music banning their toilets to the cops. Guess who Berklee's going to call the minute their front window gets smashed? They're not going to be calling the tuba players.
Exactly.
It's absurd.
Of course.
All righty, appreciate the call, Riley. We're going to take more of your calls in one moment at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
At least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes. Call 1-800-312-9970.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228, 855-236-3228. Gary in Cincinnati, Ohio, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Gary.
Hey, Ben. Thank you for taking my call. My question is about the Breonna Taylor case. You started your show off this morning by talking about how it appears worse than George Floyd because they officer served a no-knock warrant on the house and shot her in her bed. And that wasn't caught on tape. But my question is where are you getting your facts on that? And the Commonwealth Attorney for Jefferson County, which is our district attorney, had a press conference about 2 weeks ago, and the facts are a little bit different than what you had just said. So I was wondering where you're getting your facts at.
So I'll give you what the media reports have said. There's a disputed account of what exactly went on. So according to the account of Breonna Taylor's family, what happened is that the police officers had a no-knock warrant. They're executing a search warrant. And they were at the wrong house. They crashed into the apartment of Breonna Taylor, who's a 26-year-old black emergency room technician. She was in bed with her boyfriend. Her boyfriend, apparently, he had no idea who was at the door, so they broke through the door. He grabbed his gun. He was a licensed gun owner. He took a shot at the police, at which point they shot him, and then they also shot her and killed her, right? That is the account of the family. The police say that even though they had a no-knock warrant, they did knock several times and identified themselves as police officers with a warrant before entering the apartment. And then they forced entry into the exterior door and were immediately met with gunfire. Okay, this is a disputed account. We're going to have to see what the evidence shows as to whether they knocked or whether they didn't knock or why exactly. If they did, if the guy was not a criminal. See, here's the part that's weird about this case. If the boyfriend had committed no criminal act, And if Breonna Taylor had committed no criminal act, if the police knocked on your door and you committed no criminal act, would you come out guns blazing? It doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, the account by the family makes more sense if there was no actual criminal activity taking place, because otherwise, why would you just take a pot shot at an officer for no reason? Like, somebody knocks on your door and say, hey, it's the police.
Exactly.
You come out shooting at the cops?
So,
like, not unless you're a criminal.
At the Commonwealth Attorney's press conference, I believe it was 2 weeks ago on a Friday, they released that audio of an interview of her boyfriend that confirmed that they at least knocked, and Breonna and the boyfriend both got out of bed and were walking to the door. They knocked several times, and that's when they had forced entry into the house, into the apartment. And that's, I believe the media is not covering it 100% fairly, because there are these facts that the boyfriend is backing up that, yes, they at least knocked. Now, did they announce? That's a whole other question. But,
well, I mean, okay, so if you don't announce, it doesn't really help. Right? If somebody knocks on your door, and they knock and they knock, and then all of a sudden they start forcing the door, okay, then I have every right to shoot them, frankly, right? I mean, like, if somebody did that at my house, they knocked and they knocked, and then they forced the door, I'd shoot them. I would. If they didn't say, I'm a cop, please come to the front door, and then they started just breaking down the door, like, wouldn't you? Seriously, like, because you would assume that the person who's trying to break in was knocking to assume that you weren't home, right, to find out whether you were home, and so you would assume they were a burglar. So that case is a really bad case, and, you know, we're going to see what the facts bear out. But it is amazing how that one has received so much less attention than the George Floyd case. It does show the power of video, for sure. It is also worth noting, again, that police misconduct and things like no-knock warrants being misserved, that is not a condition of race, specifically, right? That is more a condition of just the police botching their jobs. I mean, people have been talking about this case from 2016 of a guy named Tony Timpa, where the police literally did exactly what they did to George Floyd and ended up killing the guy. He's a white guy. Nobody's ever heard his name because he's white. So the Breonna Taylor case, again, you have to show that it's a case that's race-based. Nobody bothers to show that, but it's certainly a case where, you know, the talk about no-knock warrants and serving them for drug cases and circumstances under which you should serve a no-knock warrant, I think it's worth a discussion. I appreciate the call, Gary. Alex in New York City, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Alex.
So the question I have is that the left is actually really good at framing the debate for how we should understand history, right? They're really good at creating like a neo-Marxist framework for telling us we should understand history based on oppressor versus oppressed. In the communist countries of the 20th century, it was rich versus poor. Now it's, you know, oppressor versus oppressed in the context of race here in America. So my question is, it's all well and good to say that that's a bad idea, but what's the positive alternative? Because the counter to a bad idea isn't just saying it's a bad idea. The counter to a bad idea is giving a good idea in response. So what is the better way to understand history rather than through that neo-Marxist framework?
Well, I mean, the better way to understand history is as a reflection of a wide variety of factors, generally not including just pure economic interest. Like, this is the Charles Beard version of American history, is the idea that all of history is driven by economic interest. So Charles Beard is a famous historian, early 20th century. He writes an entire account of the American founding in which he suggests that the reason the founders created the country the way they did was to protect their property. It turns out that this is absolutely debunked by the 1950s. It is not true, but it has become the prevailing sort of prism through which people view American history. It's a lie. I actually spend a lot of time debunking this lie in my new book, How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps. That comes out in about a month. The best way to view history is that individuals are individuals, and they have a wide variety of motivations. And very often, individuals are not driven by pure economic interest. Very often, most of the things you do in your life are not driven by pure economic interest. And most of the things you do in your life are driven by a wide variety of factors, including the need for love, the need for honor, the cherishing of ideals, the things you believe in. In fact, most people who change history are people who are not generally thinking about how to make money or how to protect their class interests. Most people who change history are people who are thinking about a higher idea of what they would like to see promulgated. And this notion that everything can be reduced to you were created by economic circumstances and therefore you are a defender of the system in which you grew up, it's just sheer nonsense. It's not true at all, and it doesn't explain if by the way, the founders were very, very wealthy people under the British system. Like, by and large, they were landowners, they had big holdings. Those are the people who you would be most expectant of, that those were people who would defend the British system and not want to break away from the mother country. But the idea, of course, is that those were the people who are just trying to protect their class interests. The history does not bear this out. It is not good history. The Howard Zinn prism of history is a bunch of garbage. But Marxism lives on because it's a sexy thing to be able to say that people you oppose are actually motivated by base greed, while you are motivated by higher ideals.
Okay. So I guess the other question I have for you is, do you think that that's why at a time when he became, you know, he came into the public eye, a person like Jordan Peterson was resonated so well, is if people are looking for an alternative, I guess, story to understand the world through. And the meta narrative that was coming out of what he was saying was resonating with so many people because the Marxist narrative is just so negative and everything is so,
I think that's right. I mean, the narrative of the world
that
suggested, I totally agree. The narrative of the world that basically free countries are made up of the oppressors and the oppressed. That narrative is incredibly depressing. And frankly, I'm shocked that it gains the kind of currency it does, except that it excuses personal action. So you have a choice. You can either buy into the narrative that suggests that the world is out to get you and therefore your failures are not your own, which is sexy in the sense that you never have to take responsibility for your own failures, or you can buy into the narrative that is more difficult but also more exciting, which is your fate is in your own hands and your success is in your own hands, your failure is in your own hands. You get to navigate your own course. That seems to me a much more exciting message, but I guess that you could choose the other message, that everything that happens in your life that's bad is not your own fault. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstor. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention posted guidelines Friday along with a second set for organizing and attending big gatherings like concerts, sporting events, protests, and political rallies.
The guideline is really for any type of gathering, whether it's the backyard barbecue or something larger. And it's not intended to endorse any particular type of event, but to be able to be applicable to any type of event that may occur.
That is CDC Infectious Diseases Chief Jay Butler. He says, some of the suggestions include taking the stairs, not the elevator when possible, encouraging people to bring their own food and drinks to a cookout, using hand sanitizer after banking at an ATM, calling ahead to restaurants and nail salons to make sure staff are wearing face coverings, and no high fives or even elbow bumps at the gym. There is new research into whether plasma from coronavirus survivors can prevent the virus.
Survivors like Alex Palmatier in Delaware are donating blood plasma.
It felt good to be able to do something to help out, just knowing the pain that it really has brought to a lot of people.
Dr. Sean Liu at Mount Sinai Health System says patients have been getting what is called convalescent plasma.
And watching people die is heartbreaking. It's scary and it's heartbreaking, and we just needed to find some hope.
If it works, convalescent plasma could have important ramifications until a vaccine arrives. Dr. Michelle Donato at Hackensack Medical Center says immunity for patients and donors is very important.
It's really a question important to the world.
There is little evidence so far the plasma is making a difference. I'm Ed Donahue.
Twitter's removed a vast network of accounts it says is linked to the Chinese government and was pushing false information favorable to the country's communist rulers. Check out more news, read the best analysis. Both can be found at townhall.com.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issue, and company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
A North Carolina judge has ordered a small stock car track to halt racing after state health officials declared large weekend crowds at recent races violated an executive order by Governor Roy Cooper aimed at curbing the spread of the coronavirus.
The judge agreed Thursday to issue a temporary restraining order preventing Ace Speedway in Alamance County from holding further events for now.
Earlier this week, the state health secretary called the track an imminent hazard and told the operators to announce the closure publicly. There was no evidence that the owners did that, so officials asked the court to intervene. The governor's restrictions to curb the spread of the coronavirus limit outdoor gatherings to 25 people. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Harold Varner III opened with a triple bogey and still manages the 66 for an early one-shot lead in the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial in Fort Worth. Right behind was Jordan Spieth. Rory McIlroy bogeyed the last hole and still shot a 63, two shots behind. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The Senate failed to come to terms Thursday on the Great American Outdoors Act, with final passage now expected next week.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says there's a reason the bill has enjoyed strong bipartisan support.
Every one of my Senate colleagues has parks, forests, refuge, and historic sites.
Colorado Democrat Michael Bennett says the bill will impact Americans well beyond the current news cycle.
This will be truly one of those defining moments for conservation that so many will remember for generations to come.
The bill mandates full funding for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, and addresses a $21 billion maintenance backlog in national parks. Bob Agner reporting.
Puerto Rico Governor Wanda Sanchez next week will lift nearly all restrictions aimed at curbing coronavirus cases, which means beaches, churches, and businesses across the U.S. territory will reopen after a three-month shutdown. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premium is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Having Jason Rance on from Seattle, he'll give us the update from the Republic of Chaz. Yeah, the state of Chaz. We will hear from the community, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. A brand new republic. Very exciting stuff happening in Seattle. But we begin at this hour with the continuation of the stupid wars. The stupid wars. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so here's the latest in the stupid wars. Lady Antebellum. I will tell you I had not heard of this group because I'm just not that informed. They're a country trio, Lady Antebellum, but their name was criticized because they were supposedly about being pre-war American South. Now, I'm not aware that that was the actual source of the name, right? I don't think it was. The Antebellum just means before the war. It doesn't mean that they were, like, in favor of slavery or anything. They're called Lady Antebellum. They won a Grammy. But because of the controversy surrounding their name, they announced yesterday they were changing their name to Lady A, which doesn't mean anything. Okay, they made the changes swiftly on social media and distribution platforms, including Spotify and Apple Music. And the group's website also announced their rechristening as Lady A. But, there is a Seattle blues singer who is black, whose name is Lady A. And she says her name has been stolen. She's a 61-year-old black woman whose real name is Anita White. She's been playing the blues under the name for more than 20 years. She began singing as a gospel performer at church. Started going by Lady A for karaoke nights in the 80s. She's released multiple albums with the name, on top of her day job working with Seattle Public Utilities. She's gearing up to release another album, Lady A Live in New Orleans, on her birthday on July 18th. So obviously a world-famous musician who works at Seattle Public Utilities for a day job. So clearly Lady Antebellum needed to be wildly concerned about encroaching on Lady A's territory. White tells Rolling Stone she is frustrated that Lady Antebellum hadn't gone to her before making a decision, pointing out the irony in changing a name in support of racial equality while simultaneously taking another one from a black performer. This is my life. Lady A is my brand. I've been using it for over 20 years. I'm proud of what I've done, she says, her voice breaking. This is too much right now. They're using the name because of a Black Lives Matter incident that for them is just a moment in time. If it mattered, it would have mattered to them before. It shouldn't have taken George Floyd to die for them to realize their name had a slave reference to it. It's an opportunity for them to pretend they're not racist or pretend this means something to them. If it did, they would have done some research. I'm not happy about that. You found me on Spotify easily. Why couldn't they? Okay, the woke, it's a beautiful story. A beautiful story of how going woke means the demands never end. You are supposed to, obviously, take into account the wishes. You're a Grammy-winning, best-selling, million-album band. And you change your name to please the wokesters. And it turns out that the name you change yourself to is the same as the name of a woman who puts out albums nobody has ever heard of and works at Seattle Public Utilities in her day job. And now you are racist again because she was black. Well done, everybody. Slow clap for the woke. Slow clap. Well done, everybody. Speaking of the woke and the music world, Berklee School of Music has made an announcement. If you are a cop, you can no longer poop on their campus. Berklee College of Music says it is deeply sorry for allowing Boston police officers to use the school's restrooms following the downtown protests on May 31st in the wake of George Floyd's killing. The school says it will not happen again. It put out a statement. It says, "Dear members of the Berklee community, we are writing to follow up on the public safety message posted Sunday night about Boston police officers' access to Berklee Performance Center. Boston police staged officers at various intersections throughout the city. One of those is at Massachusetts Ave and Boylston Street. On Sunday, Berklee Public Safety allowed officers stationed there access to restroom facilities. Boston police, of course, have jurisdiction over roads and public spaces, but not inside our buildings. The decision to allow them into the facilities was ours. This was an informal one made on the spot. We have heard from many of you personally and across social channels of your hurt and anger. This access was permitted, especially as the facility is not currently open for students and members of our community. Allowing police officers into the space was in no way meant to undermine Berklee's support for Black Lives Matter. We feel your feelings. We know that you feel betrayed. We are deeply sorry for the impact this had on our community and for perpetuating feelings of oppression, silencing, and marginalization. Let us assure you this should not have happened. Going forward, it will not happen again. Okay, if you feel marginalized because a police officer pooped in a toilet, let me just tell you, you're insane. You're an insane person. You are a crazy, crazy person. But apparently, Berklee School of Music, well done, everybody. Just beautifully, beautifully done. So where do the demands end? They don't, ever. Good news, by the way, it looks like Colin Kaepernick's going to get a job. He couldn't get a job because he wasn't a very good quarterback. Now, they're going to maybe give him a job as backup quarterback to Russell Wilson in Seattle. Seattle Seahawks coach Pete Carroll says he's been contacted about Kaepernick. Carroll said, "I got a phone call today asking, inquiring about the situation. I know somebody is interested, so we'll see what happens with that." Roger Goodell declared Black Lives Matter in a video last week, said Thursday the NFL is open to working with Kaepernick in battling systemic racism because the guy who wore socks with cops and pigs on them, that guy should definitely lead the way. Carroll said the only reason he didn't sign Kaepernick when they spoke in 2017 is because Kaepernick wanted to start and the Seahawks had Russell Wilson, who is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Carroll said, "The fact that it didn't work out for us, I figured he'd wind up starting somewhere for sure. It just didn't happen. I regret it didn't happen in some fashion. I wish we had contributed to it because the guy deserved to play." Well, you could have. You can right now. By the way, I think somebody should give him a job. If I were an owner, I'd give him a job right now, Colin Kaepernick. He's instant ticket sales. He's instant TV ratings. Because either he's great, in which case there's a major controversy over whether the NFL banned a player who was great for having the wrong views, or he absolutely sucks, and it turns out that this whole thing was a sham, and that he had been made backup quarterback of the 49ers behind the immortal Blaine Gabbert because he actually was not a very good player. And half of America cheers every time the guy gets sacked, right? I mean, like, that is the other possibility here. So I'm very much for Colin Kaepernick getting back into the NFL. I think that it'll be fun. And I think, again, people should not be banned from their jobs because of viewpoint. I really don't think that's exactly what happened with Kaepernick. I think he was a fringe quarterback, and people thought he's not easy to work with. And it turns out that Manny Ramirez can be Manny Ramirez until he's batting 230. When you're batting 340, Manny can be Manny. When Colin Kaepernick is lighting it up and taking the 49ers to the Super Bowl, Colin can be Colin. But the minute he's a backup quarterback, who's disturbing locker room camaraderie and creating national tension around your team and lowering your ticket sales because he has decided the national anthem and flag are bad, well, then It is well within your purview to say, maybe we don't need this. Okay, but right now, a lot of attention on him. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars or something, you know, why wouldn't you take a look? If you're a bad team, why wouldn't you take a look? Instant ratings. Meanwhile, Christianity Today says that churches should pay reparations to black people, which is exciting. Christianity Today, remember when everyone went nuts because Christianity Today suggested that President Trump should resign? And people were like, oh, wow, Christianity Today. Billy Graham founded that magazine. Yeah, they've been on the left for a while. They've moved to the left pretty significantly. Christianity Today's president and CEO, Timothy Dalrymple, said that the Christian church was silent in the face of slavery or even complicit in it. So I have a question. It is also true that the vast majority of abolitionists were church leaders. It is true that a huge percentage of the people stumping for civil rights were church leaders. I'm wondering why churches should have to, again, the churches don't have their own money. It's not like this money exists from 200 years ago. People give contributions to a church. But I guess the pandering is well worth it. Good times. This narrative, it has escaped. It has escaped the realm of the rational. Cops are not allowed to poop at Berkeley. And if you are a statistician who points out that violent rioting is actually bad for Democratic vote share, you get fired. This is what happened to a guy named David Shore, who was fired from his job as a data analyst for Civis Analytics for the great crime. He was an Obama supporter of pointing out that violent riots actually backfire for liberals. This is the world that the left wants. But guess what? It's not the world that the rest of America really wants very much. Most of America is not up for this. And so that's why you are starting to see Democrats move away from this narrative and back toward COVID. We will get to more of this in just one second. First, let's talk about the simple fact that if you've got a medical problem like erectile dysfunction, there's no reason at all that you should just wait on it. You should go get it solved. Right now, it's tough to go to a doctor. Why not just get it solved from home? You can do it simply and discreetly. Our friends at Roman have spent years building a digital platform that can connect you with a doctor licensed in your state, all from the comfort of home. Just grab your phone or computer, complete a free online visit. You'll hear back from a U.S. licensed physician within 24 hours. If the doctor decides treatment is right for you, your medication can be shipped right to your door with free two-day shipping. You also get free unlimited follow-ups with your doctor anytime you have questions or want to adjust your treatment plan. With Roman, no commitments. You can cancel anytime. If you're struggling with ED, stay home or head on over to GetRoman.com/Shapiro for a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That is GetRoman.com/Shapiro for a free online visit. Free two-day shipping. There is no reason to suffer with erectile dysfunction any longer when you can just go get it solved. GetRoman.com/Shapiro for that free online visit and free two-day shipping. Again, GetRoman.com/Shapiro. You got a medical problem? Go get it solved right now. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. All righty, coming up, we're going to be joined by Phil Kirpin. He just testified before Congress on the nature of COVID-19 and how it really wiped out nursing homes, what could have been done to prevent it. We'll talk to him about what reopening should look like and why so many Democrats are getting off the hook for completely mishandling COVID-19 and shipping people with COVID-19 back into nursing homes. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Hey, I'm Andy, and I started Harry's, the shaving company that's fixing shaving.
At Harry's, we keep it simple. We make sharp, durable blades and offer them at honest prices, for as low as $2 each. We obsess over quality so much that we do crazy things, like buy a German razor blade factory. So give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for only $3 with free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 4400 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 4400.
There's no doubt about it. The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. And as some businesses gradually open back up, customers want to remain safe. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool for businesses that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, allowing brick-and-mortar businesses of all sizes a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. Texting is a more powerful way for local businesses to adapt to the new normal. Podium even assists in accepting safe, no-contact payments. Podium is making it easier than ever for businesses of all sizes to get started with their new starter package. Within minutes of signing up, your business could be texting. Go to podium.com/news. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. That's podium.com/news today.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, as we see the media turning back to COVID-19 after several weeks of informing us that COVID-19 wasn't dangerous to you so long as you were protesting for the right things, Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment, has been on top of COVID-19 since the beginning and pointing out that the chief threat of COVID-19 has been to our nursing homes. He testified before the House Subcommittee on the Coronavirus regarding deaths in long-term care facilities. Phil's father contracted COVID-19 in March while in a New York nursing home. Phil, thanks so much for joining the show. Appreciate it.
Hey, Ben, great to be with you.
So why don't we begin with the status of COVID-19 today, and then we'll get to sort of the specifics here. So there's been a lot of talk about an uptick in COVID-19 around the nation. Some conflicting data. You know, some people are suggesting that there is a spike. Some people are saying, listen, this isn't the second wave because this is really just still the first wave. Some people saying that we're not close to overwhelming the hospitalization resources. So what exactly is everybody talking about other than this was always a threat, it never went away? Where do you think we stand on COVID-19?
I think that we are in sort of the tail of the epidemic curve. It's still here, but it's pretty clearly in decline. Obviously, it's not exactly the same everywhere. It's not uniform throughout the country because some places like the Northeast had, you know, pretty severe epidemics that are now mostly over. Other places never really had much or sort of just went along at a long, low level, and it's kind of still there. In terms of the hospitalization numbers and the media panic over the last couple of days, it's pretty interesting because the new admissions in most of these states they're talking about for COVID-19, states like Arizona and Texas, are flat or even down a little bit in the last few days. But the cumulative hospitalized total, the total number of people who are currently hospitalized that are coded for COVID in these states is up. And so that's a little bit of a paradox. It means one of two things is happening. Either people are having longer hospital stays, or they're starting to add COVID coding to a lot of people who were in hospitals for other reasons. And we need to get more information to understand exactly what's going on. But based on the new hospitalizations, the sort of the overall new case arrivals and the death numbers that we're seeing, I don't think there's any place in the country that I'm really concerned about right now becoming another sort of runaway epidemic like we had in those northeastern states.
So I was speaking with Phil Kirpin, president of American Commitment. He's been on top of research on coronavirus. So you were one of the first people to point out and consistently be on top of the fact that long-term care facilities, that nursing homes and assisted living facilities were the real danger points in the epidemic. Meanwhile, governors were ignoring that. They were just taking people with COVID-19, tossing them back into these facilities, not making these places first priorities for testing. So what do you think went wrong here? Why were there so many political actors who were unwilling to acknowledge the obvious reality that in places like New Jersey, 80% of all deaths were happening at long-term care facilities? Why were they ignoring this?
Well, I think what happened was, first of all, we really should have known that was the that was the major vulnerable population. That was the high risk that we should focus on, because that was already apparent in the data coming out of Europe as the pandemic was taking off in the United States. It was pretty clear already at that point that about half the Italian deaths were residents of long-term care facilities. We were starting to see similar data from France, and so we should have been better prepared for this. But I think that what happened was we were in a sort of a panicked and largely resource-constrained environment. We were behind the ball from early failures with testing. We were behind the ball on PPE because China had not only stopped exporting, but had bought up the rest of the world's supply for their own use. And so we were scrambling in a resource-constrained environment, and that forced governors, who were kind of the main decision makers on this, to decide where to allocate those resources. And a few of them allocated them very well. I think Florida stands out in this regard. They sent a lot of those resources into the nursing homes and less to the hospitals. And, I think the governor was probably criticized for that at the time, but he said, look, if the nursing homes aren't taken care of, they're going to overflow the hospitals with cases from the nursing homes. That's got to be a priority. But we had the opposite in the states in the Northeast. They basically made the decision, we have limited resources, we have limited tests, we have limited PPE. We're going to send almost all of it into the hospitals, and we're going to do testing, public testing centers and that kind of thing, rather than putting those limited resources into the nursing homes. I think that was largely a political decision. It was largely a PR decision. There may have been valid considerations behind it as well at the time, but in retrospect, it was disastrous. And on top of failing sort of at the initiation of the outbreak to really get those resources where the most vulnerable people were, a number of states made it much worse. You mentioned that New York did this, but there were really seven states that did some version of sending infectious patients back into the nursing homes before they were no longer infectious. Basically, as soon as they were clinically stable, but when they were still shedding virus, they were sent back into the nursing homes. And that meant that I believe a lot of the nursing home outbreaks were actually seeded from hospitals, because there's been so much contagion at hospitals. You could have had long-term care residents who were at the hospital for some totally unrelated ailment. They pick up an infection there. They get sent back home to the nursing home while they're infectious, and now you've seeded a new outbreak. And in New York, they sent over 4,000 still infectious nursing home patients, residents out of the hospitals back into the nursing homes, similar in a number of these other states. And I want to give your state some credit, Ben, because Governor Newsom adopted the exact same policy as New York of mandatory readmission to the hospitals, from the hospitals to the nursing homes, but he rescinded it 2 days later and adopted somewhat more reasonable and more effective policies after that, when there was an uproar from the nursing homes about this policy. It took New York 6 weeks to reverse that. And I think that's one of the reasons we've seen such a difference between those two states.
So given the wild disproportion between the number of deaths at long-term care facilities and the number of deaths in society at large, what do you think the strategy should be on reopening? I mean, I've suggested for a long time that basically trench reopening was the only way to do this. Sure, continue to wear the masks to protect the vulnerable and the elderly. But effectively speaking, if you are young and you're healthy, you should be back at work right now. And that your real factor of worry should mainly be transmitting to people who are not you.
Right. Look, I mean, the age stratification of this is so extreme. This is much, much less dangerous for children than seasonal flu is. And it's really less dangerous than flu until you get, to around age 40 or so. And then it starts to very steeply become more dangerous. And you get to age 75, and 60% of the COVID fatalities in this country are above age 75. And that's really where you have the very, very steep risk. And so it makes sense from a sort of societal response standpoint, to the extent you can, you want to block and protect the vulnerable and allow the less vulnerable to operate their lives and have the economy operating. And so we can continue to produce resources and wealth and, be as undisrupted as we can. Because when you have a society-wide panic, when you try to protect everybody, you can't – prioritizing everyone is equivalent to prioritizing no one. And as we learned, when you don't have a targeted response, you actually, unfortunately, frequently neglect the people who should be the focus of our attention, should get the most attention. So I would say, based on the research we've seen from Europe, up to about age 10 or 12, not only do you have very little risk, but you have very little infectiousness as well. So children up to that age, even if they do get it, are not going to pass it on to anyone else under most circumstances. So I think, elementary schools should basically be open with total business as usual. I think in the middle schools and high schools, you want to have some level of social distancing and precaution, because even though they're not going to get sick by and large or seriously seriously ill in any significant numbers, they can pass it on. They're more like adults in terms of infectiousness. And you say it's a gradient from there. I think that most young people should be back at work with limited precautions. We should be washing hands constantly. You want to be careful. You don't want people to forget that it's out there. But as long as they're being conscious about it and sort of courteous, I don't think that we're going to have a big spike. I think that was one of the problems with the models all along, Ben, is that they kind of assumed that the only way people change their behavior is when government forces them to. And I just think that's wrong. I think when people know there's a disease around, they behave differently. And as long as we're not telling everyone, hey, it's the all clear, I think most people can take reasonable precautions that are compatible with going about their lives. Now, you get into those high age brackets and you get over 65 and especially over 75, which is where most of the deaths are. You really want to limit your interaction with people as long as this is still going around and be cautious, be careful. That makes all the sense in the world. And then, of course, the long-term care facilities is where most of our focus should be because that's where the majority of the deaths are and the majority of the serious illness. And that's where we should be putting our testing resources and our PPE and making sure I think that those facilities should have paid sick leave, frankly, and I'm not a proponent of that generally in the economy, but you don't want people who are sick going to work in the long-term care facilities and causing outbreaks. And so there are a lot of things we could do with what we've spent economically on these lockdowns, which has just been astonishing, around $25 billion a day. It cost the economy at its peak. It's less than that now, but it's still bad. We really, really could have taken care of our nursing home population really, really well and kept the rest of us much less restricted.
Well, for Phil Kirpin, President of American Commitment, you can go check out his work over there. He's also President of Committee to Unleash Prosperity. Phil, thanks for being on top of this and appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Have a good one.
All righty. Coming up, we are going to bring you the latest from the People's Republic of Chad over in Seattle. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premium is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Purnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
76949.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Hey, this is Kevin Love from the Cleveland Cavaliers. At times, life can feel scary, which can leave us hurting and feeling overwhelmed with anxiety. Now, more than ever, we need to be kind to ourselves, kind to our mental health, and find some time and space in these tough times. Mindfulness is something that's helped me, and I hope it can help you too. My nonprofit is partnering with Headspace to offer you free content that can ease those feelings of anxiety. It's as easy to do as this. Take a big, deep breath, in through the nose, out through the mouth. In and out. Just breathing. In and out. Head to kevinlovefund.org/headspace and be kind to your mind.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we are living in a beautiful new era. A brand new country is springing up right in our midst. It is the state of Chaz, man, the state of Chaz, which, again, sounds like a late night jazz radio show from a guy in his basement, the state of Chaz. Well, the state of Chaz is actually just it's kind of like that. I mean, it's a communist mecca that has been created in the middle of Seattle. Joining us on the line to report on this communist haven, this utopia that has been set up, nonviolent, beautiful. They've got farms. Is Jason Rantz, host of the Jason Rantz Show on KTTH 770 in Seattle, one of our most listened to stations. Jason, appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Jason, give us the update. So it looks like the independent state of Chaz is having some early difficulties. I saw that they had set up a farm in the independent state of Chaz. It actually looks like they just took some topsoil, dumped it in a park, and then put a few plants on top of it, which looks like that might feed one vegan, one salad in 2 months. Is my take on that. But how is the food supply over in the great state of Chaz?
Well, they definitely have a lot of hemp bars and granola bars that they're handing out for free, by the way. That's one of the many perks of being a resident or visitor of the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, as it's called, Chaz. You get free food, free apples. There is some violence, not too much violence. What's kind of interesting in all of this, the media, for the most part, is trying to pretend that this was this like peaceful and inspirational movement that just took back their streets because they're really passionate about their cause. But it's super important to understand that they took six city blocks under the threat of burning down the East Precinct, this police precinct in the neighborhood. It came after nights of throwing rocks, bricks, incendiary devices at cops. The mayor here, Jenny Durkin, decided to pull out all the barriers, pull out the cops, and then they took over. And for the most part, it's peaceful, right? There are a bunch of hippies there who are hanging out and doing murals and singing and having conversations about social justice causes. But to believe that this is just this like this peaceful haven is incorrect. You had Julio on yesterday from townhall.com. He's been able to catch some of the videos of some of the violence. Brandi Cruz, who you know, she's a friend of mine. She's a reporter here. She was assaulted three nights ago because she came in and she was deemed too offensive to be allowed to broadcast there. So this idea that everything is peaceful is nonsense. It's overall peaceful until the cops get there or until people they don't want to be there show up. Then it's not peaceful.
Even CNN reporters yesterday were suggesting that if the forces of the law enforcement move in, that violence will break out because apparently there are a bunch of armed people there. We have seen video of people basically being checkpointed and stopped and frisked. So they got rid of the police and they've set up a new police. What do we know about the new warlord of Chaz, Raz Simone? So we've heard his name repeated a couple of times.
Yeah.
He apparently, hilariously enough, claimed that his Twitter had been hacked and that people had put bad old tweets on his Twitter account because he is now afraid of being canceled.
Joy Reid needs to get her investigator on this. I think who once they're done at the FBI looking into Joy Reid's blog at MSNBC, weirdly for very similar kinds of comments about the gay community, totally should go in and help Raz out. I mean, there's conflicting reports here. There's some stuff that has not been corroborated. There's been a lot of rumors about some of these checkpoints. We've seen some videos or photos that appear to back that up, but it hasn't been happening with any consistency. And most of the reason behind that is because they are very aware of what the media is, when the media is there and what they're videotaping and photographing. And so I think that they've been pushing that on hold. There is no evidence at this point of extortion, which was one of the talking points that came out. And to be fair, the cops were the ones who put that out. They heard people anecdotally explaining that businesses there have been told, hey, if you don't give us some money, we're going to cause some problems. Now, with that said, no one stepped up. If you're a business that's in that zone, I have to imagine you don't feel comfortable speaking up at this point if, in fact, you're being extorted. So what we're dealing here is total lawlessness. And again, it's being romanticized by the New York Times, by CNN, and weirdly yesterday as CNN was down there talking about how peaceful it was, you literally have people trying to get in the way of the broadcast. It was actually kind of funny.
So meanwhile, there was also a video that emerged of a pro-life journalist who went in there with a camera, mm-hmm. and people were harassing the person and basically shouting that his life didn't matter. Did you see that video? What did you make of it?
I did. And again, that's pretty much what you can expect in this area when you are deemed as someone who is an enemy to the cause or who might not just push the talking points that they want to be pushed. They're incredibly, incredibly aggressive towards those folks. I went in yesterday and let us all thank coronavirus, at least for now, because I got to wear a mask. They know what I look like. They don't want me there. I was on Tucker last night. Our cameraman, our crew couldn't get in there safely without being harassed. So we had to go somewhere else for that. But that's generally what we're seeing. Again, when you're on their side, they will be peaceful. They'll show you what they're all about. When you're not on their side, they won't. There were reports yesterday from Cairo TV here that two assistant police chiefs who ended up going back into the precinct to survey the damage, they weren't allowed to leave for a bit. And there's a little bit of overblown. They weren't held hostage. But again, when you look at the video there, the cops are being called trespassers and they're being given a hard time.
So what is Mayor Durkan doing about all this? She withdrew the cops. Obviously, the police chief over there, Carmen Best, is very unhappy about it. She says that it's actually tripled the 911 time to the area because yep. you can't actually get in if some crime is committed. So is Durkin's intent to basically just let this go on indefinitely, the occupation of six city blocks in the middle of downtown Seattle?
She was asked that question point blank yesterday, and she pretty much did not answer. She doesn't appear to have a plan beyond just placating this group and hoping that they can come to some sort of negotiation, some sort of deal. She's literally negotiating with these folks to get back the East Precinct. There was concern that no one was taking the blame for giving up the East Precinct, but today, this morning, Mayor Jenny Durkan put out a statement that said, yeah, okay, it was on us. She's pretending what's happening there isn't actually happening. And now that President Trump has gotten involved both in that interview he gave with Fox News yesterday and the couple of tweets he posted over the course of the last 2 days, now it gave them ammunition, Jenny Durkan and Governor Jay Inslee, basically the room to say this is now Seattle versus Trump, which is a smart strategy if you're trying to deflect from the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone because Seattle hates Donald Trump and they don't want to be perceived as siding with him. And so strategically, it might not have been a good play here, but nationally, it's probably a good play. I mean, when Trump wants to get involved in this, he's going to be pointing to cities like Seattle. He's going to be pointing to Jenny Durkan and say, I'm the law and order candidate. And on that argument, I think reasonable people, regardless of where they fall on the topic of policing and police brutality and any of the ideas that have been positioned right now for discussion, they're not going to look at what's happening in Seattle and say, oh, yeah, no, this is cool. I want this here.
So Governor Jay Inslee has also suggested, first he suggested that he didn't even know what was going on in Seattle with the Republic of Chaz. He said that it was sort of a figment of everybody's imagination. And then he suggested that the big threat was President Trump putting troops in to try and get rid of the new Republic of Chaz and wipe out this nascent, beautiful utopia. So has he been similarly, you know, noncommittal about what exactly he's going to do? I mean, I assume this can't go on indefinitely. I mean, they're just lucky that Janet Reno isn't the AG. She would have gone in and blown everybody away. I mean, that's what she did at Waco.
Yeah, I mean, the assumption is it's not going to go on indefinitely, but this is also Seattle, and I certainly envision a point where the city says, look, you can have the East Precinct, you can turn it into a community center if that's what you want, but you're going to have to open things back up. I mean, ironically, the group of socialists and anarchists who are anti-border are putting up borders around their area so that cops can't get in, bicyclists can't get in, and cars can't get in. So, I mean, they're literally doing the thing that they claim to be against. Governor Inslee took exactly the same tone as Jenny Durkin, which was, oh, they're all peaceful and they have the right to do it. And, you know, COVID's still a thing, but everyone's got to be responsible, but they have the right to do it. And then he then deflected going after Donald Trump. And that's what he does. And again, smart strategy if you want to deflect and get some of these people here on your side who maybe are on the fence as to whether or not they like this. But it's still incredibly dangerous because, and I said this point yesterday on Fox, like, you have people listening right now to you in Los Angeles and Atlanta and New York and all over the place. And they see some of the craziness that's happening in their own neighborhood. They saw some of the looting and the rioting. But now they're saying, okay, at least we don't have it as bad as Seattle. This is going to come to your neighborhoods. This is enabling other people and empowering other people to do this exact same thing. And if it doesn't come to an end, it's just going to spread. And that's dangerous for everybody.
So, Jason, we're assuming Jason Rance from KTTH in Seattle. So, Jason, do you expect – I think there's going to be a lot of flight from places like Los Angeles, from New York. Now, obviously, I used to do a local show up there in Seattle. Even then, it was becoming a garbage heap. Then under the tutelage of a different mayor, as homeless took over the city and the city basically exacerbated the problem. Now they're obviously willing to allow widespread rioting and looting for days on end and now a full takeover of six city blocks. Do you think the businesses are going to stand for this long term?
So it's kind of weird. If you're a business in that area, in this neighborhood of Capitol Hill, you probably are going to put up with it. Number one, a lot of businesses that are already aligned with that ideology will set up camp there and or super serve the demographic. The folks who live on Capitol Hill in Seattle, which is about 5 minutes from downtown, these are folks who believe in this ideology. So they're going to kowtow to it. But outside of that, we've heard a lot more of the business community, whether it has to do with the looting and the rioting that we saw early on that has thankfully stopped, or the homelessness crisis, they've been speaking up. A lot of them are saying, look, it's untenable at this point. When my lease is up, we're going to move. Or they continue to threaten it, hoping, praying that the city will actually get involved. And no one seems to be stepping up. In fact, it seems quite the opposite. They either pretend it's not happening, or they say it's not that big of a deal.
Well, Jason Rance from KTTH, really appreciate your time. Thanks for your reporting from the front lines of this beautiful new moment in life as we see the Castro takeover of Seattle. It's really interesting stuff. Jason, appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, we're going to talk more about what's going on in Seattle and why what's going on in Seattle really is a good indicator for why the left is moving away from a lot of this narrative and back toward COVID. We'll get to that in a second. First, let's talk about the fact that if you are waiting to get life insurance, what exactly are you waiting for? With everything going on right now, a lot of people are thinking, I can't get life insurance. I mean, we're in the middle of like a pandemic. No, you can still get life insurance and you should get life insurance. Head on over to policygenius.com. As an insurance marketplace, Policy Genius is in contact with the life insurance companies on their platform every day. They're keeping track of all the changes in the market so you don't have to. That means they can get you covered quickly and for the best price. Here is how it works. Policy Genius compares quotes from the top life insurance companies all in one place. It just takes a few minutes to compare quotes from the top insurers and find your best price. This doesn't just save a lot of legwork. You could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team handles all the paperwork and the red tape for free. So if you hit any speed bumps during the application process, they will be there to take care of everything. So if you're one of the many people looking at life insurance right now, just go do it. Just go get it taken care of. It's really easy. PolicyGenius.com. Go check them out right now. PolicyGenius.com. Once more, it is PolicyGenius.com. And that's going to give you access to all of the insurance you could possibly need, life and auto and disability and all the rest. Go check them out right now. Okay, so as the agenda becomes more and more radical for the radical left, as they start taking over swaths of city streets, as they begin to tear down every statue, more and more Americans are going to say, I'm not into this. I'm just not into this. I mean, even Andrew Cuomo is off the train. Andrew Cuomo yesterday, he said, you know, you guys, you want to tear down Columbus statues? I'm not up for that. I'm really not. Andrew Cuomo is a Democrat.
The Christopher Columbus statue represents, in some ways, the Italian-American legacy in this country and the Italian-American contribution in this country. I understand the feelings about Christopher Columbus and some of his acts, which nobody would support. But the statue has come to represent and signify appreciation for the Italian-American contribution to New York. So for that reason, I support it.
Americans are not up for this. And you know who knows this? Republicans. Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, yesterday, he was mocking the pretensions at taking down the Washington Monument. And he's exactly right. And the Democrats have run directly into the teeth of reality because they overplayed the hand. The hand was, people don't like police brutality and racism. Agreed. And then they went to, also, let's take down the monuments of Washington and Jefferson, and let's blame all white Americans for all inequality in American society. And people were like, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Democrats went too far, as they always do. Here was Tom Cotton yesterday.
Where does this cancel culture take us? What is the logical conclusion? What is the end of the cancel culture? I will tell you what it is. It is right here in this city, Washington, the District of Columbia. That's where it will end if we don't put an end to the madness now. Just up the mall is the Washington Monument. Are we going to tear the Washington Monument down? Are we going to rename it the Obelisk of Wokeness?
Well, he is right, and it's an easy talking point for Republicans, and this is what Democrats know. So they're shifting the narrative back to COVID-19, naturally. That is the direction they have to move. Because if they keep pushing forward the narrative to the point where Americans are just annoyed, then they've lost the effect. And that is what's happening right now. They've pushed too far. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be talking about the State Department, from State Department. So you remember that time when Mike Pompeo was a really bad dude because he fired the IG? It turns out we have new information on why he fired the IG. It wasn't because the IG was investigating him. Also, John Bolton is back. He's got a new book. People are very hot to try.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
On good intentions. Through Travis Manion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So you remember a few weeks ago, there was a lot of talk about this fired State Department investigator general. There's this talk. This guy's name was Steve Linick. And there's a lot of talk in the media. Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State. Evil, evil man. Fired the inspector general, probably because Linick was on to him. Because Linick was going to investigate him for sending his aides to go get dry cleaning or something. Well, now it turns out, as Mike Pompeo suggested, that there was another reason that Steve Linick was fired. He was apparently leaking to the media. According to the Washington Free Beacon, the State Department Inspector General, whose recent dismissal ignited a political firestorm, sent copies detailing a sensitive investigation to his personal email account, according to a probe into his conduct run by the Defense Department's Inspector General. The inquiry report, dated March 17th, confirms that fired State Department Investigator General Steve Linick was the subject of a broad investigation related to the leaks of politically charged materials to journalists, specifically a draft evaluation report into Brian Hook, the State Department's top Iran official. The report, provided to the House Foreign Affairs Committee, concluded that while Linick was permitted to send information to his personal email account to facilitate access while traveling, he was the only official in the office to have done so. The disclosure is likely to raise new questions about Linick's suspected role in leaking sensitive information to the press. So in other words, this guy Linick didn't like the president's Iran policy, and so Linick is now suspected of having leaked out bad information about the Trump administration to everybody else. Linick's firing generated harsh criticism from Democrats and many in the media, with opponents of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo alleging the former IG was canned for his efforts to investigate allegations of impropriety related to Pompeo and staff. Trump and the administration have maintained that Linick's firing was justified. Apparently, details of the highly sensitive investigation into Hook, including unsubstantiated allegations that Hook fired officials he saw as insufficiently hawkish on Iran, were leaked to the media without authorization, according to that DOD investigation, and only Linick was sending himself personal emails on the subject. The DOD IG didn't find evidence that Linick did leak, but the revelation is likely to fuel criticism of Linick's conduct. State Department officials close to Pompeo said that Linick was fired in part for refusing to allow an independent probe to be conducted into his actions. So remember that whole narrative that Mike Pompeo was bad for firing this IG? It was a cover-up by Mike Pompeo? It turns out not so much. We going to get any retractions? We going to get any apologies? No? Didn't think so. Now, meanwhile, more bad news for the Trump campaign. John Bolton is putting out his book. This is the long-awaited book. Now, remember, there was a time when people were suggesting that John Bolton was going to testify in the impeachment hearings, and then he didn't testify. His aides had all testified anyway. He didn't testify. He suggested that maybe if it went to the Senate and the Senate opened up testimony and they called him, then maybe he would testify. There's a whole controversy over it. Well, now he is releasing this book. And in the book, he says this: as if impeachment were not enough, I also found myself confronting the daunting challenge of fighting an incumbent president determined to prevent publication of a book about my White House experiences. Trump behaved typically, directing the seizure and withholding of my advisor's personal and other unclassified documents, despite numerous requests for their return, obstructing my Twitter accounts, and making outright threats of censorship. His reaction thus ranged from the mean-spirited to the constitutionally impermissible. My reaction, my response, game on. This is from the back cover of John Bolton's new book. So according to Axios, in the memoir, Bolton will offer multiple revelations about Trump's conduct in office with direct quotes by the president and senior officials, according to a source familiar with the book. According to the Bolton camp, Bolton will go beyond Ukraine. He'll argue that there was Trump misconduct with other countries. People close to Trump have been worried about the book because Bolton was known as the most prolific note-taker in high-level meetings, according to Jonathan Swan. Apparently, Bolton would sit there and he would fill yellow legal pad after yellow legal pad with notes. And so people are concerned about what John Bolton is going to reveal. From the press release from the publisher, what Bolton saw astonished him. A president for whom getting reelected was the only thing that mattered, even if it meant endangering or weakening the nation. I'm hard-pressed to identify any significant Trump decision during my tenure that wasn't driven by reelection calculations, he writes. In fact, he argues that the House committed impeachment malpractice by keeping their prosecutions focused narrowly on Ukraine when Trump's Ukraine-like transgressions existed across the full range of his foreign policy. And Bolton documents exactly what those were and attempts by him and others in the administration to raise alarms about them. Now, here is the thing. You know, if the argument is that Trump is a politically motivated actor, that's called being the president. This notion that presidents never have an eye on reelection is absurd, obviously. All politicians have an eye on their reelection. The question is whether that is the sole rationale for what they are doing and whether it cuts directly against the interests of the United States. The question is whether there's an ultimately illegal thing going on. And Barack Obama, when he said to Dmitry Medvedev, that I'll have more flexibility. Tell Vladimir, I'll have more flexibility after the election. When he said that, you think he was saying that not with with an eye toward reelection? He literally says in the quote, after the election. Okay, so presidents are constantly thinking about reelection. That's not the question. The question is whether Trump committed a crime on its own, not whether he's a bad president. Right? If John Bolton thinks he's a bad president, then that's his prerogative. He's allowed. If he's alleging a crime, then where was John Bolton during the impeachment hearings? According to Simon & Schuster, in the months leading up to the publication of The Room Where It Happened, Bolton worked in cooperation with the National Security Council to incorporate changes to the text that address NSC concerns. The final published version of the book reflects those changes. Simon & Schuster is fully supportive of Ambassador Bolton's First Amendment right to tell the story of his time in the White House. The book is slated to come out, I believe, June 23rd. So that is going to be an ongoing headache, presumably, for the Trump administration, as that creates a bevy of headlines. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump says he doesn't like the use of chokeholds and thinks, generally speaking, the tactic should be ended. But speaking with Harris Faulkner on Fox News Channel's Outnumbered program Friday, the president thinks it might be needed if a police officer finds himself one-on-one with a bad guy.
And you get somebody in a chokehold, and what are you going to do now? Let go and say, oh, let's start all over again. I'm not allowed to have you in a chokehold. It's a tough situation.
Chokeholds have come under renewed scrutiny in the wake of the killing of George Floyd in police custody, which has sparked mass protests across the nation and around the world. U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit heard arguments in the case of former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Speaking with Salem Radio Network, investigative reporter John Solomon foresees three possible outcomes.
The appeals court could say, Judge Sullivan, we think you're fine. They could say, Judge Sullivan, you got to go back and do it a different way. You didn't handle this right. Or they could just yank the case away from him and say, you know, we'll make the decision, dismissed, case over with.
Justice Department last month moved to dismiss its case against Flynn, who pleaded guilty as part of Mueller's investigation to lying to the FBI about his contacts with the Russian ambassador during the presidential transition period. Attorney General William Barr said he had concluded Flynn's interactions were entirely appropriate and there was no basis to interview him about them. Thousands of people across Hong Kong sang protest songs and marched to mark the one-year anniversary of a clash with police outside the semi-autonomous Chinese city's legislature. Protesters gathered in a popular shopping districts and malls, some holding signs reading, Heaven will destroy the CCP, referring to the Chinese Communist Party. Meanwhile, riot police stood by, searched some participants, but no clashes were immediately reported. More news and analysis at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
Joe Biden's list of potential running mates has narrowed.
Democrats with knowledge of the process tell the Associated Press presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's search for a running mate is entering a second round of vetting. After initial interviews, Biden's search committee has narrowed the field to as few as six serious contenders. But according to those with knowledge, additional candidates could still be added. Among those still in contention are Senator Kamala Harris of California, Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, and former Obama National Security Advisor Susan Rice. Biden has said he will pick a woman as his running mate. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Vice President Mike Pence traveled to Pennsylvania Friday to attend a listening session with faith and community leaders to hear their concerns following the death of George Floyd. He then talked up the economy at a manufacturing plant 30 miles northeast of Pittsburgh. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A federal appeals court ruled Charleston, South Carolina's rules requiring tour guides to memorize facts about the city is unconstitutional.
The unanimous ruling from the appeals court in Richmond upholds an earlier ruling from a lower court. A libertarian legal group called the Institute for Justice filed the lawsuit on behalf of several would-be tour guides. The group argued it was an unconstitutional restriction on free speech to require tour guides to receive a license to talk to tourists about the city. The city's licensing rules required applicants to pass a 200-question written test on Charleston's history, architecture, and historic preservation efforts. Keith Peters reporting.
Stacy Allister is taking over as the U.S. Open's tournament director. Allister is the first woman to hold that job at the American Grand Slam tennis tournament. She's the former CEO of the WTA Tour and worked at the U.S. Tennis Association since 2016. More stories at townhall.com.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Old Lunch Bucket Joe, he's not home. Did you see Brad Parscales from the Trump campaign sending out a tweet this morning? Very funny. Very funny tweet. Calling on the networks to stop editing Joe Biden's gaffes out of their interviews. which they're doing. And who did it? Trevor Noah on the Comedy Central channel night before last. They had their Joe Biden interview because, you know, Comedy Central, CNN, what's the difference? Trevor Noah, Jake Tapper, what's the difference? And they edited out his gaffes, apparently. Byron York noted it in a tweet. And others noticed that Joe Biden is just humming along as sweet as you please, and in the middle of sentences, there are sudden edits, and they're jumping to other parts of the sentence. And it is presumably because Joe Biden is stumbling all over the place and bumping into walls and is unaware of where he is. So the people at Comedy Central and at CNN and NBC, they edit the interviews to make Joe Biden look better. And that's happening. That is what's happening. And it's not just a TV show and reruns what's happening. It's what's happening with Joe Biden and his campaign and his news media friends. And it's kind of funny in its own way. And at the same time, it's tragic for a whole number of reasons, not the least of which is this is apparently the best that the Democrats could do when they went looking for someone to run for president against Donald Trump. And they ended up with this guy, you know. And he's got a bit of a history, and it's a very lengthy history, very, very lengthy. He, you know, they're talking, Nancy Pelosi is talking about removing all the Confederate statues. There won't be any Democrats left in the Capitol if they remove all the Confederate statues, because they're all Democrats, just by the way, because the Confederacy was a Democrat operation, just by the way, because, you know, slavery and then the Klan and Jim Crow. But never mind that. They got off the hook on that one. Somehow there's no, you know, there's historical guilt for everyone in America, except for the Democratic Party, which is actually guilty of all this stuff. It's the oldest racist organization in the United States of America. Its name is the Democrat Party. Jefferson Davis was their favorite president, I think, and he was the president of the Confederacy. We had that Civil War and, you know, violence in cities and things like that. Speaking of which, President Trump is planning on getting back on the campaign trail. Did I mention that we're at 888-630-9625? And, you know, a very happy Friday to you. It's a little bit less crazy here at the end of the week. There are fewer leftists burning cities and shooting people, and they've dialed it down. The party's dialed it down a little bit anyway. Actually, they've dialed it down a lot. In Washington, on Connecticut Avenue, which heads down toward the White House and comes close, block after block after block has been boarded up for weeks now. And they started yesterday taking down some of the plywood and the particle board that has been used to try to keep the violent Democrat Party mob from smashing through their windows and looting them or setting them on fire. But it is a good sign. And it's, boy, is it good to be a Democrat, isn't it? Because the news media feels like they've just come home from a long rally themselves, because they have. And they might as well have been looting storefronts their own selves, the news media people. But the city, the country, has been upended for weeks. And what's the body count? Do you see any news media people keeping a body count on this? It's conspicuously absent. They haven't kept a running tally of the number of cities, the number of buildings, the number of businesses, the number of people shot, the number of people killed, the number of store owners killed. They haven't kept a running tally on anything. It's quite fascinating. And they're like, oh, this has been great. This is really leading to great stuff. And never mind, they're angry with President Trump for holding a rally because of the Wuhan, and they all remained completely silent through all of the riots in city after city, because they didn't want to bring up the Wuhan when it was their team out there burning cities down. That's our media. Our media is really filthy dirty in this whole thing. They genuinely are. So President Trump is planning on holding a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma on June 19th. Now, June 19th, interestingly enough, is, Abraham Lincoln, a Republican president, murdered by a Democrat shortly after the war. You know, Abraham Lincoln, the Republican, had to defeat the Confederacy and Jefferson Davis, the Democrat. Let's just start with that, okay? And the Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, in 1863, signed the Emancipation Proclamation. And what with the Civil War and everything, word didn't actually get to Texas until 1865. interestingly enough, on June 19th, when the Emancipation Proclamation was read aloud by a general in Texas, and the slaves were freed. Now, the Civil War had ended, and it was kind of late in arriving, the news. But it must have been Democrats in Texas, too. And so that's Juneteenth, it's called, a truncation of June 19th. And African-Americans make note of this. It is it's a day, and I've certainly been aware of it in Washington, D.C. for many, many years, living in Washington, D.C. And President Trump's holding a rally on that day. And now Democrats are really, really upset because it's Juneteenth, and you can't have a political rally on that day. So why don't you guys give us a list of dates when political, because of things that happened at some point in history. I'm glad we're not Italian, because we'd have like 2,500 years of history, and every single date on the calendar would have 15 different events from history. We have a very short history, but this is the Democrats who say, you can't hold a rally on that day because it's Juneteenth. Well, really? Is that a new rule? I guess it is. A new prohibition. And then he's holding it in Tulsa. And in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in 1921, there were riots on May 31st and June 1st. There were riots. And apparently up to 300 African-Americans were killed in these riots, right? So the Democrats now have combined the riots in Tulsa and Juneteenth, and said you can't hold a rally in Tulsa on that day. Two completely unrelated events, one in 1921, one in 1865, one in Texas. And they're like, you can't hold a rally in Tulsa because something bad happened in Tulsa in 1921, and you can't do that. And on June 19th, that's when word of the Republican Emancipation Proclamation finally reached Texas, and so you can't hold a rally. And if that makes sense to you, then you need a brain scan. You really need. There is something wrong with you, because that's crazy. And to say that you can't hold a rally in Tulsa because something bad happened in 1921. How about in Chicago? There were riots in Chicago much more recently in 1968, and people were killed. Can you hold a rally in Chicago? Because, you know, there were riots in 1968. So how could you? And it's a terrible racist city, I know, because Jesse Jackson told me that. And so, this is insane. These people are, and you know why? Because it's racist. Because everything is racist. They call everything and everybody racist, which is just their playbook. It really is. It's racist to hold a rally on that day. Last year, Joe Biden had a fundraiser. Wasn't it last year? Joe Biden had a fundraiser on June 19th. I guess that's okay because that's not a rally. Oh, okay. Now I see how your brain isn't working. Just amazing stuff. The Washington Post today has lots of exciting news. They have a picture on the cover above the fault of Jefferson Davis statue being toppled in Richmond, and being a mob came and pulled it off, and they're vandals, and Jefferson Davis is a Democrat. All the Democrat statues are coming down. There won't be any memory of their checkered past. Maybe that's it. They're erasing their history because it's so sordid and racist like that. And they're very excited. Upending Civil War flares anew, now over Confederate statues. Apparently they haven't been paying attention for many years at the Washington Post. Now over Confederate statues? That's been going on for years. I don't know if you guys, that's what that whole Charlottesville thing was about. You guys, I think you had a story on that, didn't you? I got to tell you that the news media has never been dumber. And they're tearing down statues. And did you see John Cleese? John Cleese, who is of Monty Python fame, tweeted out about the tearing down of statues because he actually appreciates Western civilization, and he's on the side of Western civilization. He's not an anarchist. He's not a violent thug. He's not a goon. He's not insane. And he has a Twitter account. So he started tweeting about the statues coming down. And it was fairly amusing stuff. There are lots of, boy, the world of Twitter is just crazy, isn't it? But John Cleese tweeted out, I'm very confused about toppling statues. The Greeks, whose civilization has long been admired in the West, believe that in the ancient world, a cultured society was only possible if it was based on slavery. So should we be getting rid of statues of Socrates and Aristotle? The answer is, of course, yes. When they get to the Vatican, they'll rip all the saints off the roofs, too. Similarly, John Cleese continues, the Romans enslaved the British for 400 years. So are we due reparations from the Italians? And Sir Isaac Newton was a shareholder in the South Sea Company, which included trading, slave trading, among its activities. What do we do about his statues? It's rather complicated. That's John Cleese of Monty Python. He's a thinking person, and so many people are not these days. Like in Seattle, where they don't have a lot of thinking going on, but they got a lot of dumb going on, man. They've got a whole lot of dumb. And they still have this autonomous zone. It has, it's now called CHAZ, for the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. It's an acronym. Everything has to become an acronym. It's not real if it doesn't become an acronym. So it's CHAZ, like Chaz Bono, you know, another faithful Democrat. And the CHAZ is a loony bin, and the news media loves it. There's a piece I was describing yesterday, the glowing piece in the New York Times, and the New York Times is the head of the centipede and the little legs, goose step with their little hobnailed boots, matching all the other news media people merch behind the New York Times. So today has the Washington Post has their glowing piece because they're always following the New York Times. It's really sad. It's like they want to date the quarterback, but they never get to. It's a very tragic thing that the news media and the Washington Post, the New York Times, and they love and adore each other. And everybody follows the New York Times. And they've got this glowing piece about how wonderful it is. And the mood is great. And they left out, really, all the good stuff about the warlord Raz and the threats and the extortion that the police, the assistant police chief described the extortion of store owners 2 days ago. And then yesterday they came out and said, well, we're not so sure about this extortion. You know, we were just hearing that from the store owners who were being extorted. So now they're not so sure. You know, believe the women. They don't. It's absolutely crazy. Absolutely nuts. By the way, I also mentioned Portsmouth, Virginia. The mob was tearing down, a violent mob of leftists was tearing down a statue like the Taliban that they are. And they pulled down a statue. I think this might have been Jefferson Davis. And then it might not have been also in Portsmouth. And it hit a guy in the head. And sent him to the hospital, and they said, according to eyewitness reports, he could see his skull. And now the man is in an induced coma. And the headline here is, man in induced coma after toppled Confederate statue slams onto his head. Now, I got to tell you, you don't want to make fun of people who are in induced comas and who have brain damage and things from toppling statues on their own heads, although it's difficult to avoid. But, the poor guy, I hope he gets better. you go around tearing down statues. I think they don't appreciate history. Let me also say this. We got to take a break here in just a sec. But we are at 888-630-9625. Let me say this. Nancy Pelosi is tearing down the statues in the Capitol, and the mobs, the violent mobs in the street, are tearing down the statues like the Taliban and erasing the history of the Democratic Party. You know, a lot of these things were erected, if I may use that term, and put up certainly in the Capitol, as symbols of reconciliation after the end of the Civil War, the bloodiest war in our history, the most horrible war in our history. And these statues, these monuments, these plaques, they were symbols of reconciliation, of forgiveness, of putting the war behind us. But the Democrats who gave us Jefferson Davis and the Confederacy in the first place, now we've got a breakaway state apparently in Washington with the Democrats there. You know, everything old is new again. Now they're tearing down the symbols of reconciliation. Gosh, I wonder what it is that they want. We'll be right back.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Father's Day is approaching fast. What are you getting your dad? What about the gift of memories? If you or your parents have boxes of old home movies and photos in storage, why not ensure that your family's legacy is digitally preserved forever so you can pass it on? Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all your videotapes, film reels, and pictures digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or to the cloud. I sent Legacy Box pictures of my father from World War II, so I know my family will have them forever. You pack send your pictures and movies. Their team digitizes everything by hand, and you get back perfectly preserved digital copies ready to watch, share, and enjoy. Get started preserving your family's legacy today. Go to legacybox.com/plant to get an incredible 50% off your first order. Buy today and take advantage of this exclusive offer. Send it in when you're ready. Legacy Box is great for you or someone you love. Go to legacybox.com/plant and save 50% while supplies last.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be signs that your digestive system isn't working at its best? But taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil supports your daily digestive health using a special plant-based fiber called psyllium. Psyllium works by forming a gel in your digestive system to trap and remove the waste that weighs you down. Metamucil's gelling action also helps to promote heart health and slows down sugar absorption to promote healthy blood sugar levels. Start feeling lighter and more energetic by taking Metamucil every day.
At CDW, we get putting productivity within reach of remote employees.
That's why I'm WFC, working from couch and moving everything within arm's length, like the microwave. Lunchtime.
You should talk to the experts at CDW. They can orchestrate a more efficient workspace solution using light, powerful devices from Lenovo to keep your teams productive from anywhere, couch included.
Yeah, but do they have grabber claws?
IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Learn more at cdw.com/Lenovo client.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company helps you customize your renter's insurance so you only pay for what you need. Unlike things you paid for you didn't need, like that much-needed 125-inch flat-screen TV.
It's hurting my eyes. A lot.
For your 200-square-foot apartment.
My neck isn't so much stiff as it's completely stuck.
With Liberty Mutual, get customized renter's insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Uh-oh, I'm seeing color splotches.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hey, I'm Andy, and I started Harry's, the shaving company that's fixing shaving. At Harry's, we keep it simple. We make sharp, durable blades and offer them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We obsess over quality so much that we do crazy things, like buy a German razor blade factory. So give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for only $3 with free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 4400 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 4400.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Now, not all Confederate monuments are monuments to reconciliation. Certainly in the Capitol, they are. And they should start by renaming the Russell Senate Office Building, named for a Democrat segregationist racist Richard Russell, that Joe Biden actually worked with, by the way. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to David calling from Ashburn, Virginia. David, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking my phone call. So I grew up in Seattle, and I grew up with this leftist communist crap. And this stuff has been going on for a long, long time. And the Seattle City Council has known about these anarchist groups that come from Oregon. They come from the upper parts of Washington State. They even come from Idaho. They come in, and a lot of these guys, and this is my assumption growing up in that environment, in terms of who is blocked off most of Capitol Hill, you've got a lot of, quote-unquote, white privileged kids up there that feel guilty about daddy and mommy's wealth. They were born into being their Boeing executive kids, their Microsoft executive kids. You've got a lot of warehouse kids up there that are extremist environmentalists. You've got a lot of these young punks up there, and this is what they do in their off time while they're living off of their trust fund. This is their kind of their thing. There is an arts college up there called Cornish College of the Arts. This is a leftist communist college, and what they do is they have kids that come from all over the world. They indoctrinate them through dance and art and acting and all of this stuff, and then what they do is they spit them out into Seattle and tell them that the world is their oyster and that they can go out there and do this stuff. The point is this. None of this is going to surprise anybody that's from this area. There are people that are from this area, have grown up in this area. This is a shoulder shrug. So for the rest of us that look at this and go, oh my God, wow, this is amazing. For those of us that grew up here, we're like, yeah, well, this was inevitable because as you were already seeing, the Seattle local government has put up with this stuff going all the way back to the Battle of Seattle in 2000.
Yeah. That was the IMF or World Trade Organization or whatever it was.
Yeah, the WTO, exactly. Yeah, but I mean, but this stuff, this was kind of stuff that was this is an indoctrination camp. We have seen this stuff come down the pipeline for years and years in Seattle.
Yeah.
And the problem is, and this is another issue that's going on, and this is what happens. And this is my fear, especially now that I've been living in Northern Virginia, is that if you allow the locusts to continue to spread out.
Yeah.
We are going to start to see this stuff in other more kind of liberal leaning areas. It would not surprise me if there were anarchist groups right now looking to shut down parts of San Francisco. And it's just going to continue to work its way down the coast.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to tell you, David, I've been watching these guys from afar for years myself. We've been talking about them for years.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Oh.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply. Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Because of the probability of our power being shut off during wind events or fires, many people are installing standby generators. Shasta Gas is now selling standby generators with propane tanks so that you will have home power during these outages. Give us a call at 365-3793 to get a quote on a generator and tank installation. That number again is 365-3793.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dacus.
California lawmakers created a new statute in 2018 preventing public employers from disparaging unions. The statute was designed to undercut the 2018 Supreme Court Janus decision, which gave public employees an opt-out right from paying any union dues. Now, seven elected officials in California are suing the California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will provide free legal help to any employees who, as a matter of conscience, seek to opt out from paying union dues.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
They've gone quite mad. They've all gone quite mad. You see, Joe Biden said that, what did he say, that the death of George Floyd has had more impact than the assassination of the Reverend Martin Luther King? That's what he said. If a Republican said that, it would be racist. But when a Democrat, you know, the party of the Klan and Jim Crow, says it, apparently it's okay. Because, you know, two parties, two sets of rules. It's it's a different kind of thing altogether. There are many wacky stories floating around today because the usual suspects have been busy as little beavers. They're just little beavers, aren't they? Are those real beavers or guys in beaver suits? I think that's an age-old question. In Denver, Colorado, which used to be a city of some repute, Denver School Board unanimously votes to pull Denver police officers out of schools. Now, wasn't that Columbine in Colorado just outside of, I think it was. But it turns out that in Denver, they don't want, cops in the schools because, cops are bad. And that's the thing. About 700,000 police officers in the United States, just shy of 700,000 sworn law enforcement officers, a badge and a gun and all that stuff. 700,000, about the same population as Washington, D.C., interestingly enough. And we've had an awful lot of homicides in Washington, D.C. in the last couple of weeks. We had a 71-year-old grandmother gunned down in her front yard. We had a 13-year-old kid walking with his friends gunned down. Washington Post dismissed it. They said he's part of a crew at 13 years old. A crew, that's like a gang, but more local. And so it was okay. I read it in the Post. It's okay. He's 13 years old. But in Denver, they've said the problem is the police. I mean, honestly, it's like Steve Martin and the Jerk when M. Emmett Walsh is trying to shoot him because he picked his name randomly out of a phone book. And he keeps hitting the oil cans. And Steve Martin incorrectly concludes that M. Emmett Walsh hates those cans. And these people have it just as wrong, right? These people have it just as wrong. The problem is not the police. There was that one guy. He is being dealt with. His name is Derek Chauvin, and he is being dealt with. He's been charged with second-degree murder and a variety of other charges, and the judicial system is now taking care of that. There's not really much more you can do about that unless you break down the doors at the jail and drag him out and lynch him, which I think is what most of the mob would like to do. You know, the Democrat Party has a long history of lynching. In fact, you look at the history of lynching in America, and it's a get your Ouija boards out, because you'll be surprised to learn that the big arrow goes over to the Democrat Party again. It's kind of amazing. The Denver Public Schools Board of Education has voted unanimously to end its contract with the Denver Police Department that provides school resource officers to the district. This means that the Denver Public School resource officers will be pushed out, phased out through June 2021. So that's next year. They don't want to do it right away. You wouldn't want to do anything rash. The district will rely on its own security team. That ought to work better, I think, private security. So wait a minute. You're against private prisons, but now you're going to have the private security takeover from the police. Is that? Yeah, that's it. That's what they're doing. Also, I'm told in Montgomery County, Maryland, the lefties there who welcome and invite MS-13 to shower with your daughter as long as they claim they're some other gender, and teach them about tattoos, you know, living tattoos like that. They're also considering doing away with police officers in schools because it's been much too safe, and they want to put an end to that. Bring in MS-13, push out the police. That's the liberal program in Montgomery County. These are not bright people, and they're in charge. It's a very disturbing thing. I've got to say, truly, truly amazing stuff that these people are doing. And the President Trump, I don't know how much more I'm going to get into the President Trump having the rally in Tulsa, but it's, you know, in Tulsa in 1921, there was a riot, and people were killed, so you can't have a rally there. Okay, all right. And it's on the same day that a general in Texas read the Emancipation Proclamation, a Republican document allowed to a crowd of newly freed slaves. So you can't hold a rally on that day. Okay. All right. You know, your brains don't work. That's kind of all I have to say to you. You people are crazy. That is a crazy reason for saying that you can't have a political rally on that day, or that you can't have a political rally in that city. And again, the riots in Tulsa, they were May 31st, June 1st, and the president's going down June 19th. And it's unrelated. It's just amazing. Just amazing. Good thing we don't have a longer history. We couldn't have any events on any days. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Steve calling from Middleburg, Virginia. Steve, you're on the Chris Plant Show. Steve.
Hello?
There you are.
Yeah, happy Friday, big time.
Why, thank you very much.
Hey, I'm out in Tappahannock this morning having beignets on an outdoor patio. It is a great Friday.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah, it's a burger place. It's a burger place called N.N. Burger. You should come here sometime.
I
Best
think
burger in Virginia.
Is that right? I'm going to make my way there. That sounds very good.
And they serve beignets in Chappahannock, Virginia. Who'd have thought?
That's, you know? that's French food. What is up with that? That's
yeah,
crazy.
That's from Café du Monde in New Orleans, if you've ever been there.
Excellent, excellent. So what do you know? What do you say?
Well, speaking of big time, I heard you got your favorite quote in the Congressional Record recently, courtesy of Louis Gohmert.
It's true.
Is that
yes,
right?
It's true. Yes, that's true. Congressman Gohmert, said he, in fact, on the floor of the House, he said, as Chris Plant likes to say, he said, I thought that was very thoughtful. Yeah, if it weren't for double standards, liberals would have no standards at all. Yes, it's a...
There you go, That means you and I have something else in common besides our matinee idol good looks. Although, I was in there for completely different reasons. I'm sure you're relieved about that.
Would you like to explain why you were in the Congressional Record?
No, I don't think so. But I know you're glad that it's for a different reason for you. But
all right, what do you say? What do you know?
Well, you earlier I thought it was the radio reception wasn't too good out here, but I thought I heard you say that we can't laugh at a guy that gets a statue falling on his head when he's taking it down. Right? Is that what you said?
It would be impolite to laugh at the poor man. He's in an induced coma because he was pulling down a statue and it fell on his head. Yeah.
Well, speak for yourself. This guy's the Wile E. Coyote of protesters.
Yeah.
And if you see a picture of the scene, which I saw in the corner, there's a box that says Acme Statue Removal Kit.
You know, honestly, it is kind of hanging out there, isn't it? Kerrang. If it were a Tea Party event, the news media would be loving it. They'd be all over this guy. They'd be mocking him morning, noon, and night. But he's a lefty, so, you know, when the lefties are destroying things and the things fall on them, you're not allowed to make fun of them, I guess. I know,
and it's... I hate to make light of what's going on nowadays because it's really sad to watch. You know?
I pretty much
tuned out the news except for listening to your show.
Yeah.
But and it's Friday, so I like to keep things light when I call in, you know, on Fridays.
I understand.
With the weekend coming and everything, life's too good, you know. But I really feel sad for what I see going on in the country right now. Yeah. And, you know, I hope things get better and everything. I'm just sad, you know, and I don't feel I'm not the kind of person that feels bad very often, you know.
Me too.
I know you're an upbeat guy, you know, and you got a sense of humor.
Yeah, and you have to. And look, you know, I grew up, and we all grew up with whatever, but, you know, the Vietnam War and the civil rights and the riots in Chicago and all these things. My father was in the news business and my mother was, you know, and it's, so, I mean, this stuff has been part of my life, all of my life from the time I was a small child. And, my father, who art in heaven, died when I was a small baby, when I was a little child. He was a World War II vet. So early on, I learned a lot about World War II and I've known about man's inhumanity and man and about craziness and about war and mayhem and riots from my earliest days. So none of this really shocks me. It appalls me. And I'm outraged by a lot of what I see. But at the same time, you got to keep your sense of humor. And you got to, you know, I grew up on Preston Sturges movies and cheerful movies about the Depression, that in the worst of times, you still have a sense of humor and you have a good time. Even when things are bad. In fact, when things are particularly bad, it's more important then to be cheerful and to have a sense of humor and to get laughs out of things. And let me also say this, Steve. When I look at these people out in Seattle and rioting in the streets and all these numbskulls who have been brainwashed and indoctrinated, they believe you just said life is great and you said life is too good. And I agree, life is great and life is too good and life is wonderful and these people have been raised to believe that life is terrible. They've been raised by leftists. Leftists are chronically unhappy, and I made this observation before, too. They are misery, and misery loves company. So they want you to be miserable with them, and this is a big part of their thing. The left is miserable. They're chronically unhappy. They're angry with history. How can you be angry with history? Things that happened centuries ago that contributed to where we are today. Bad things, good things, you know, there's a Led Zeppelin song in here somewhere, and I just can't understand being angry with history and being furious about everything when the world is so great and people are so great and this country is so cool and everything is so wonderful and it's a beautiful day out there and it's so easy to be happy. But they've raised these people to be miserable. And here's the key to that, Steve. They hate people. They've been trained and educated, if you can call it that, to despise humanity and every member of that set known as humanity. They people are so bad, they go to war, people are racist, people are awful. Well, you know, it's the yin and yang. It's the darkness and the light. It's good and evil. Every culture is aware of this. You know, it's what religion is based on. It's what Christendom and Christianity is based on. There's heaven and hell, God and Satan. There is good and evil, darkness and light. And it's part of life. It always has been. It's up to you to make decisions, you know, make the right ones because they matter. But these people they've been raised to despise all of humanity. And now they're racist. They've been raised to hate white people and to demonize white people who had nothing to do with things that happened centuries ago, but they don't care. It's guilt by race. It's guilt by association. It's inherited guilt. These are very, very screwed up people. And that's, you know, the left screws you up. It teaches you to be angry about everything and to hate everybody and to accuse people of all kinds of outrageous things all the time. And, of course, to cleanse yourself of any sin that you may have, because you are pure as the driven snow. You are innocent. Everyone else is guilty. And that makes them self-righteous, and they preen and pose and posture and do the superior dance because they're more morally pure than everyone else. And, of course, they celebrate what they call women's health. And in the course of what they call women's health, they actually exterminate 40% of the black population in the United States of America. And then they feel better by tearing down statues that fall on their own heads. It's an amazing thing. But these people, again, at the encampment in Seattle and these mobs in the street, they really, I guess they've been convinced by their brainwashers that all white people are bad. Right? And Christopher Columbus is bad. Christopher Columbus is bad because they saw a movie with Colin Farrell and it was violent and it disturbed them. That's really about as deep as their understanding gets. It was Colin Farrell, right? I think it was Colin Farrell. And as you know, where Columbus is the bad guy, very dark and moody movie. And so Western civilization and born of a sin, the original sin. Well, we weren't born of slavery, actually. We were stuck with slavery when we declared independence by the British. And slavery has been perfectly normal, as John Cleese was saying. The word slave comes from the Romans using Slavs. That's Eastern Europeans. They're white and very often hirsute. And the Romans used them forever and ever as slaves, and that's where the word comes from. In Africa, there are still five countries in Africa where slavery is active today. And you don't hear a peep out of these people on that. You're LeBron James, and you're having your $250 gym shoes that everybody else buys. Yours are $10,000 shoes or something. You're having them made by slaves in China, by slave labor in China that lives on a subsistence wage, doing work that gnarls their fingers by the time they're 30, and then they're cast aside by their slave masters in communist China. And LeBron James complains about racism in the United States when the Chinese have thrown hundreds of thousands of Uyghurs into hard labor camps where they're breaking rocks and doing the kind of thing that Nelson Mandela was doing, digging in salt mines in South Africa. I've been into those salt pits on Robben Island and into Nelson Mandela's jail cell, for that matter. But, you know, look, Steve, you hit it. It's life is too good to spend your life being miserable. But the left insists that everybody be miserable and that you hate the person next to you and be angry with people based on their race. And that you be furious about history. That's just insane. It's irrational. And it's normal. Now, sadly, tragically. Steve, good to hear your voice. Steve's been calling in since late night show, since I was doing the 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. show at WMA in Washington, and been around for a long, long time. And he has a secret, but we'll just leave that alone. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Well, Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your roommates or your family are listening to. Now's the perfect time to get a pair of premium wireless earbuds, and Raycon is the way to go. Raycon started about half the price of other premium brands on the market, and they sound just as amazing. And Raycon's everyday E25 earbuds are their best model yet. You get 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you a comfortable noise-isolating fit, perfect for conference calls, video chats, or binge listening to your favorite radio talk show hosts. Raycon was founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Cardi B and J.R. Smith have already given Raycons their seal of approval. Now it's your turn to see what all the hype is about. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/plant. That's buyraycon.com/plant for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/plant.
At CDW, we get putting productivity within reach of remote employees.
That's why I'm WFC, working from couch and moving everything within arm's length, like the microwave. Lunchtime.
You should talk to the experts at CDW. They can orchestrate a more efficient workspace solution using light, powerful devices from Lenovo to keep your teams productive from anywhere, couch included.
Yeah, but do they have grabber claws?
IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Learn more at cdw.com/Lenovo client.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company helps you customize your renter's insurance so you only pay for what you need. Unlike things you paid for you didn't need, like that much-needed 125-inch flat-screen TV.
It's hurting my eyes. A lot.
For your 200-square-foot apartment.
My neck isn't so much stiff as it's completely stuck.
With Liberty Mutual, get customized renter's insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Uh-oh, I'm seeing color splotches.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Boy, oh boy. We should go to another phone call, I think, because phone calls are fun. And I have many things to get to, all the madness out there. Let's go to Sam calling from Carolina Beach, North Carolina. Sam, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Hey, Sam. I'm very well.
I wanted to make a comment about changing the names of the military bases.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know about the rest of them, but Fort Bragg's just right up the road.
Uh-huh.
And it was named after General Bragg, who was Jefferson Davis's fair-haired boy until Robert E. Lee came along.
Uh-huh.
And he was involved in the West, you know, out there in the West. And every time he was involved and the South would win, he would fail to follow up. He wouldn't pursue. He would just let them go. And eventually he ended up toward the end of the war in charge of the Wilmington area, which included Fort Fisher, which is 2 miles from my house.
Okay.
He, when they had the second invasion, he was sitting on top of a sand dune a mile from my house and was a mile and a half or 2 miles from Fort Fisher and actually watched the Union invasion. And he had a near about equal amount of troops and could have done a lot to repel them, but he didn't. He withdrew, and when he withdrew from Wilmington, and the rest is history. So he had a long history not following up and diverting resources. And to my way of thinking, he was actually probably one of the better generals that the North had.
So wait a minute. So you want to, you're against renaming most of the bases, but you're okay with renaming Fort Bragg because the Confederate general that it was named for let the Yankees go too much and didn't do his job very well, and that he is to some degree or another responsible for the loss of the Confederate States of America in the Civil War, and that's why you'd like to see his name taken off the base. Do I have that right?
Pretty much, except for I think his name should have never been involved to start with. I mean, and you know, who knows what's right or wrong, but I know that ain't right.
Yeah. Who knows what's right or wrong, but I know that's not right. That's great. That's good stuff. I got to tell you. You know, we had a nice – I didn't get to the nice caller yesterday, but I saw on the screen a nice caller yesterday saying, you want to rename the bases? Okay, whatever, blah, blah. You know, that, too, was to some degree or another about reconciliation after the war. A lot of Southern military people, over time started to come into the fold. And a lot of this was really about reconciliation at the end of the war. And people forget that, and now they want to undo all that, of course. But we had a caller yesterday who said, if you want to rename them, name the bases after Medal of Honor recipients. Right? Name them, you know, Audie Murphy, Fort Murphy for Audie Murphy, and up to the modern day, name the bases and the facilities and forts after war heroes, Medal of Honor recipients. Instead of generals, you know, generals are, well, they're bureaucrats and, well, a lot of them, not all of them, of course. But this renaming, tearing down everything, erasing history is very Taliban-like. And it speaks to a lack of understanding of our history, obviously.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.